Blog Talk Radio.
Peace, welcome, blessings. You're listening to Thor Radio Network, a.k.a. Thor Ministry, a.k.a. Truth Radio, a.k.a. Reality Radio. This is your host and founder, Brother Sharif. And the crew is here, Layla, Lori, Rudy. Today is Tuesday, July 8th, 2014. We are live. We're mobile, but live. First of all, I want to give all honor and praises to the Creator for blessing me with life, health, and strength, for giving us another opportunity to be here today, coming together as community and common unity. I'm going to be another 5 minutes before I can get my panel open to get to my to be able to function properly. Having a little technical difficulty, so I appreciate your patience. Meanwhile, it's been an interesting week. We're going to talk about some recent important news in the debt world. And for those of you that are in some debt collection activity, Those issues may include but are not limited to alleged foreclosure, debt collectors, things of that nature. We are not a debt elimination network, group, member association. We are debt responsible. We believe in fulfilling our legitimate contractual agreements here at Thor Radio. We are not anti anything here. We are pro people. We are pro life and a comfortable life without being oppressed, dominated, for lack of a better word, screwed around by third, fourth, fifth party, those who deposit or invest no more money in a debt than those that deposit a nickel at a Las Vegas slot machine. We are about turning your anguish, your oppression, your suppression, your distress into damages, which may translate into money for those that infringe upon our right to not be put into poverty by nickel players, aka debt collectors. It's been an interesting week. I want to thank all of you for being here. I want to thank all of you that will later download the show for your entertainment. I'll go ahead and give the disclosure. Normally my team does, but I will. Myself and those that are on Thor Radio Network, guests or participants, are not attorneys, nor are we affiliated with any legal society. We believe that contract is law and law is contract. And all of the information discussed on this show is our experiences, opinions, and nothing more. Many of the things you'll hear discussed is based upon our research, both individually and collectively. And there is no one upon this earth that can take away the experiences of myself and the people and the panel that is on this show. Thoroughly research anything we say, anything we talk about, and make sure you understand exactly what you're doing. Before acting upon any of the information that you hear. Now that we have that disclosure out of the way, if you give me a couple of minutes more, we will proceed to our show.
Brother Sharif?
Yes.
We are
good,
all
Rudy.
Here. We're all here open and
great.
Ready to go.
Great. Why don't you play another song that will give me a couple of minutes to be able to get settled?
Okay. Let me pick out something that I like if I can find it. I'll be happy to
you do that.
Yeah, let me see if I can find what I want. Okay.
You looking for Hank Williams?
Well, it would be nice.
But listen, everybody can't be in my head. Everybody can't sleep. don't want nobody but you. Don't want nobody touching me, baby.
Settled here, and then we'll get right into the show.
Okay, fantastic. I want to wish everybody a very happy Tuesday, and I always say hello and happy day, and again, happy Tuesday. Our word for today is look. So write that
down. I'm sorry. I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world. Millions of despairing men, women, and children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers,
Don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power. The power to create machines. The power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. To make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world. A decent world. That will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future, and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason. A world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
As I was saying before, Charlie Chaplin decided to help me out there a little bit.
He sure did. He did it on his own.
I was saying hello and happy Tuesday to everybody, and that our word for today is look, L-O-O-K. Look is a verb, an action word, a word of movement. To look, to direct your eyes in a particular direction. Look, to turn one's eyes towards something in order to see, to behold. As I want to share something with you I read in reference to protection and defense. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. And the reading goes on to say that the help, the reading did not say I would look underneath me for help in times of trouble, nor did it say I would look around me from side to side for help, but rather I would lift up mine eyes from the position that I'm in to a position of a raised place, upwards towards the hill, an elevated place. Now, here is my interpretation for such a time as this. I will look up at a place of elevation, a place of advancement, a place where the help I desire is located. Help to give or provide me with what is necessary to accomplish a task or satisfy a need. Help to assist me or aid me on my journey with my mission so I may accomplish my goal. That is what I have found here at Thor. I see the elevation using the consumer protection laws. I see the laws. I can read those laws. I can apply those laws to my benefit. The attitude here is different. The aptitude is different. So my altitude will be different. I'm at a higher plane. It is prudent to look to the strong for strength and the wise for wisdom. So let's lift up our eyes to an elevated platform of applied knowledge, wisdom, and true understanding of the consumer protection law. Happy day.
Amen. Great. That was beautiful. Right on time, Rudy. Layla, Lori, are you there?
I'm here. Howdy, howdy, everybody.
All right, Layla, your commentary.
Oh, well, everyone, your family, it's pleasure and honor to be here to talk to you today. We have had a tremendous week. We have talked to several people. We have given guidance to several people. And, you know, I just heard Rudy talk about look and, you know, seeking aid and help. And I think that's what Thor is. That is what Thor is to the people. We are standing in the gap, so to speak, aiming to hold your hand, so to speak, to point you in the direction that you need to be able to accomplish some of the issues that you may be experiencing, and also to help those that may be around you that are experiencing some difficulties related to debt and debt collection issues. This could be for credit cards, your student loans, your automobiles, if you have a mortgage debt. Those encompass what it is that we aim to educate you and arm you so that you can move forward with victory over and be a master over these circumstances. With that, I will just pass this back to you, Brother Sharif, and we'll be talking to you real soon.
Great. Lori?
Well, I hope everybody's great and doing well. Was it Tuesday today? I'm all mixed up after the July 4th weekend. Hope everybody's rested and well. Speaking of health, I hope everybody helps themselves this July 4th weekend and took an opportunity to help themselves with getting a copy of their credit report and starting their dispute process and help themselves with the knowledge of knowing what's in the county recorder's office in regards to your property if you're dealing with mortgage issues, and starting to think along those lines and just realizing that, you know, resources are one thing for your knowledge, but resourcefulness is the best thing, and the resourcefulness is up to you. Help yourself. That's what I got.
Great. Indeed, indeed. Rudy, did you have, besides your word of the day, did you have anything else to add, commentary-wise?
No, sir. I just want everybody to be aware of where they are and then look up to where they need to be and make the step forward to get here. We're already here. Make the step forward to get here and to make this your place, your domain. Come. We've got something for you.
Okay. Great, 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 great. Well, I mean, I know the Thor rings, the Lionesses of Thor, have a few topics that they wanted to indulge in relating to debt and the alleged foreclosure arena. Before we get into that, I'll touch on a few current events that's occurred in the last week, and we'll sort of morph into the additional topics that are similar and germane to information that we discuss here at Thor. And then we'll make an announcement about the upcoming Thor University seminar we will be doing online for the next 2 weekends, starting this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. We will announce that midway through our show. First, I want to say peace and blessings to those in the chat. Lynn Benson, thank you for being here once again, a constant supporter, listener, and member of Thor Ministry Radio. Also, good to see Zaya5417 and the rest of the remaining guests that are there. We thank you for being here. Please help yourself to the chat. Speak amongst yourself. Ask questions. I will often check the board and try to address any concerns or commentary you may have. Brother Maynard is in the house. Let's see if Brother Maynard has anything before we go on. Brother Maynard.
Yes.
Peace, brother. How you doing?
Yes, Brother Sharif. All right. Doing excellent. I'm excited about the new class and the new program that you have instituted. I think it's something that is rare. Well, it's unheard of. And I am excited and looking forward to it.
Great, great, great. And it was always in the workings. We know a lot of people needed it. We know that a lot of consumers out there kind of peruse other shows to get bits and pieces of what they need to complete themselves in order to conduct themselves as a consumer and defend themselves or even provide some offense by way of taken to task their debt collectors. And that's what this seminar is about, it should cover pretty much every topic and should put you in a ready position to do things. But what's going on in your world, in your group? Any new news, good news, bad news, mistakes, successes?
Well, it's all good. I'm in actually in federal court. I had a pre-conference hearing in federal court on my own case where the defendant tried to have the case dismissed on a 12B6 motion, and the judge just wasn't hearing it. So now
good.
We're proceeding. So I'm looking forward to it.
Good. And I believe this is your case where you had a pre-conference motion, pre-motion conference as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it the same one or is it the different
one?
Did you have another?
One. Mm-hmm. Same one. Mm-hmm.
So tell us about what happened. I believe you explained it to me. You went in and the defendant, debt collector, wanted to dismiss your case based on, I believe, Ricker Feldman, correct?
Correct.
Or was it something
That's
else?
Correct.
Okay. And for those of you who don't know, Ricker Feldman is basically states that the federal court usually doesn't interfere with state court actions. And, you know, with regards to Maynard's case, it was about a foreclosure that they are doing. And Maynard went on the offensive as well as the defensive in the state court action. He filed his district court Federal Collection Practices Act. Many times, you know, the defendants and firms will try to commingle the two and try to claim that the district court shouldn't interfere with a state court action, but actually they have nothing to do with each other. And this is either intentionally or by ignorance that they try to commingle the two and say that, well, we're doing a foreclosure, judge, and that has – his case has something to do with the foreclosure. No, it doesn't. You're collecting a debt. You're a debt collector. And as we know, but maybe they may not know, those two are two totally different actions. You may think you're a creditor, okay, extending upon a contract that you feel he is indebted to. And you may play that creditor role in the state court, and they may allow it, but I'm going to play the consumer role, and you're going to play the debt collector role, and I'm going to be the plaintiff, and you're going to be the defendant, because you are collecting a debt. You are collecting that debt after it is allegedly in default. Therefore, you're a debt collector. So Brother Maynard went to court, and basically the defense said, Judge, you know, you should throw this out because this has to do with the foreclosure. But, you know, Maynard is one of the students of Thor, and he's been taught that we don't commingle the two. No, sir, this has nothing to do with a foreclosure. This has to do with a debt collection, and they are both different. And I believe the judge said to the attorney, Brother Maynard said, she said, counsel, what do you keep talking about the foreclosure? She said, well, judge, there's a lot of foreclosure. We're doing a foreclosure on his house. She says, well, counsel, that's not what his complaint says. His complaint says you're trying to collect the debt. You haven't validated the debt, and that you're residing in his credit report, and he don't understand why you're there. And that's exactly paraphrasing, but that's what she says. She says, now, I didn't see or read or hear the word foreclosure. So this judge was definitely on top of her game. She knows what's going on, and she looked at counsel, and, of course, he probably got a banana peel face, and he probably looked and said, well, judge, normally everybody else falls for that. And this judge said, no, we're just not going to do that, so I'm not going to dismiss your case. We're going to move on because you haven't denied that you're a debt collector, which is one of the things that explained to Maynard. All of that rambling, he hadn't denied that he's a debt collector. He's talking about a foreclosure. Now, let me ask you this question, Maynard. If he felt that he was a creditor and he was only doing what the law allows him to do and he was conducting a legitimate foreclosure, then why would he not go up to the district court where you're suing him as a debt collector and say, judge, we're not debt collectors, okay?
That's right.
He didn't say that, okay? He just said, it's Ricker Feldman, judge. You're not supposed to get involved with state court action. You're a federal court. You're a court of jurisdiction. This is a court of six jurisdiction. We're doing a foreclosure. We're not a debt collector. But no, they didn't say that. He just said, judge, this has something to do with a foreclosure. He never denied that he's a debt collector. All right, so that should give you guys an indication, and that's the reason why we're sharing it and Brother Maynard is sharing his story, it just feels differently when you're the plaintiff, doesn't it, Brother Maynard?
Oh, it's a wonderful feeling to sit on that side of the court.
So for those of you that are out there that are terrified, that are scared, that are worried about, you know, well, they're 12B6ing me, and what should I do? You know, Brother Maynard has been there, and Thor always tries to bring you experiences from people that are similarly situated, okay, as you, and where you would be had you took the offensive action of filing against your debt collector. So Brother Maynard physically went to a hearing, physically, at the district court, the attorneys, and the debt collector, which is a bank, and he prevailed. The judge agreed with what he was saying, what he was doing, how he pled his action, and I don't think he really had to say much. I think the
That's
judge
correct.
Knew exactly where she was, and I don't think Brother Maynard had to do a legal version of tennis with the attorney. I don't think he had to play ping pong or bowling. I think she read his complaint. She listened to what he had to say. She corrected him and said, that's not what he's saying. He didn't mention foreclosure. We don't care what you're doing down there in your little foreclosure case. Just continue what you're doing.
I think
he
decided to come over here. What she said is, what he said, oh, Your Honor, he's complaining that we ran his Social Security number. And she went all over him. She said, no, he did not. He said, you're in his credit report. And, you know, the clerk started smiling at me, and I was like, oh. She was like, oh,
so he tried to twist your words around. He tried to make it what he wanted to be. Huh?
Exactly.
Which is,
well, she corrected him.
A lot of what they do, they will twist your words around again. The only weapon they have is words, and your words are more powerful because they're based on facts. There's no twisting, no mangling, no co-mingling, no dismantling of the facts, and that was a great job. And Maynard proceeds on, which means they have to now file an answer to his causes of action, and they're probably going to answer, right, which is probably a vague answer. We have no information. You know, basically, we don't know what you're talking about, right? Right, exactly.
That's correct.
Which is what you should be filing when they sue you. I don't know what you're talking about. Don't have enough information. I don't know what you're talking about, basically. So they're going to play amnesia, and then Maynard is going to go, and he's going to give them a dose of medicine to handle their amnesia. And all he has to point to is that, are you not taking an action in the state court? Right. Is that not past the statute of limitations or you're collecting after default? Right. Did I not ask you to verify or validate that debt? Right. Have you done so? No. Okay. And basically, that's basically how it's going to go. Are you not in my credit report after I dispute it? Yes. Did you forward information to the credit bureau stating that the debt is valid and it does belong to me? Yes. Okay. Have you been there after that determination? Yes. Okay. So you understand that you are causing me damages, okay, per account, $1,000 per month, per account, per bureau. Per month, per account, per bureau. You are injuring me. You are causing me to pay higher interest rates, higher insurance premiums. You may have prevented me from getting a job, from getting security clearance. You may have prevented me from getting an apartment, getting a house, getting an automobile loan, getting a credit card. You might have injured my ability to be a consumer. You may have stressed me out because I do not know who you are and why you are in my personal credit report. Therefore, you are injuring me every day that you take up residency in my report erroneously or unlawfully. And that's the damages that Brother Maynard and those of you out there should be pleading. That's how you should look at it. those are the facts. They have to prove why they are in. Anything else, Brother Maynard?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, there's all the small things going on. They're small, but I guess they're extremely important to, you know, the people that I'm associated with. And there we're just getting cases dismissed and just now just looking forward to the class so we can start going on the offense.
Oh, you're already on the offense, and you're doing it, brother. So, you know, big props to you, and keep doing what you're doing. Keep knocking out what's not supposed to be. Keep utilizing the courts respectfully, properly. Definitely only go there if you belong there and know what you're doing when you get there. And that's what this upcoming seminar is about, is to prepare you front to back in the way we know it, how to take advantage of the law and to make these debt collectors compensate you when they veer outside of the law. So, again, for those of you that have fear or think this is difficult, Brother Maynard has filed his case. He has been to the court on a motion to dismiss. He has stood before the judge. He has stood before opposing counsel and the defendant. And he has prevailed on the fact that the court and the judge does not see any reason to dismiss his what he's pled, what he's said, and what he's done. So for those out there that are not so positive, not so optimistic, think that it is absolutely difficult to accomplish these things, think otherwise. Anything else, Brother Maynard?
I'm just going to tune in and enjoy the show, Brother Sharif, and you know, I'm glad to hear you again on the radio. It's been a few days. I've been out of town, so I'm just glad to be back and, you know, listening to Thor and obtaining all this information. So I'm just excited about the whole show today.
Thank you, brother. And it does seem like a lot since it was just on Tuesday. It seems so long. It seems like it's 2 or 3 weeks in between. I have to fix that. Maybe you have to go back to 2 weeks, 2 days a week. Well, 3 days a week, but it does seem like a long time. People in the chat, like, good to hear your voice again, Brother Sharif. I'm like, man, was I gone? Like, what's going on? You know, it does feel like I've been gone a while, so we definitely have to fix that. But definitely good hearing from you, brother. And I know you be traveling, you be getting around and taking care of your ministry work. You have a pretty large group out there. Maynard, you're doing a great job. You're growing. I know a lot of people email me wanting to connect with you, and so I know you're growing through Thor, so you're an extension of the Thor family. And we're going to bring this webinar series, 2 weekends. We're going to cover everything so you can get everything. We want Thor to be the Walmart of consumer law for your consumer needs, for you to understand the debt collection industry. And we're going to do our best to bring that to you so you maybe not have to go to too many places for it. So Thor University is in effect this weekend. We'll make the announcement mid-range. One of my Thorines had something to say. Was that Rudy or somebody wanted to interject?
Yes, I did, please. Brother Maynard, is he still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, listen, it's always, always very good to hear your voice because you're so encouraging. And what I want people to realize at this point in time, when Brother Sharif talks with you and you guys kind of jockey back and forth what's going on, that you're a prime example of the applied knowledge that I make reference to. Knowledge is one thing, but to be able to see it applied in the way that you're doing it, you're a prime example. So we see the wisdom and the true understanding of those consumer protection laws coming forth from you and your group. And, again, I just want to applaud you for what you're doing, and you continue on, young man.
Well, thank you very much, Rudy, and thank you for all you're doing. And it's inspirational to have you and the rest of the panel and, of course, Brother Sharif. I mean, that's where I'm getting my strength from and my knowledge from. So I look forward to everything that you guys do anytime you're on the radio. So thank you once again.
You're very welcome. Have a great day.
Thank you. All right. That's our Brother Maynard. We always love for him. He's one of the first students of Brother Sharif. He's one of the half a dozen of students that started out when I was on the other network, and he came forth and got some training from the beginning. He attended every single webinar and almost every show. And he's grown in just a short amount of time, I believe less than 6 months, probably in a shorter time than that. And he has a pretty substantive group, pretty big in size. He helps a lot of people. He holds his own meetings. He's doing a great job. He's gotten rid of at least a couple of $1 million in debt collectively between his group, which I think is over 100. And they're just getting rid of debt that no one is entitled to. Okay, again, not circumventing or not avoiding any contractual agreement that they have. They're just using their education and their knowledge to look at which agreements can be enforced and which not to. They definitely do not want to be a victim of poverty and pay any debt collector $2 or $3 based upon a nickel investment. So definitely we thank them for that. We're going to go into, if you want to call in, 657-383-0332. Press *1 if you have a question. We will get to your questions. This show, we didn't do it last show. We were sort of mobile, but we will get to your questions this show. So if you have a question, call in 657-383-0332. Let's talk about some top news. Layla, if you wanted me to lead off, or did you want to lead off with the news, or you wanted me to go and you piggyback, or you want to go and I
whichever
piggyback?
Whichever you prefer. Whatever you prefer. I just wanted to say before we get started that, when we talk about this community, this community, and we're all coming together, and Brother Maynard, sharing his knowledge and experience with us as an example, currently, along with, Brother Amin Ra, being able to come together as each of us individually work on what we're doing, there's a power that when we talked about this the other day, a force that we all bring together, and we leave here with so much strength. So everybody that contributes to this broadcast, we thank you because it helps to build each other up. With saying that, those of you who are new to the call, those of you who have been sitting on the fence, we've been talking this for a while, Thor helps you to get it done. There are people out there, and there's a common thread, and we realize that they're not getting it. And the fact that we're going to be having these webinar sessions, I think, will be the answer and the solution for people to come off the fence and really start getting things done with their personal situation. We've been contemplating this why. And I think that personally, just from a contemplative perspective, we talk about, society and the psychology in society, and, if we're not growing, we're dying. And there's this innate desire that we all have to be good. We have, we want to do good, we want to be good, we want to help others, and we aim to be selfless. And in doing that, we're also taught that, to turn the other cheek. So we can't even believe that something is being cast against us. We can't believe the fact that we know that these bankers got paid all this money. We know that the system is closing the loopholes in the system, but for some reason we don't want to believe that they're doing that. And sometimes we think that, people think that what we're doing is a little bit out of whack because we're going against the grain. And, in order for us to have life in this world, we realize that something had to go against the grain for us to be here. So with that being said, we need to learn that if we're ingrained with turning the other cheek, imagine somebody slapping in your face. If they're going to slap you in your face, are you really going to turn your face to the other side and let them slap you again? I don't think so. I think you're going to put your arm up and you're going to defend yourself and not allow that person to slap you. And that's what Thor is here to do. It's to bring down that Thor mallet and say, be done with you. Be done with you. We're not doing this anymore. We just want to make sure that you have that mindset that Brother Maynard just brought here. You hear how happy he is. He doesn't sound begrudging. He doesn't sound down and out. He sounds happy. And that is what Thor is all about. Back to you, Brother Sharif.
Great. And I want to say that I know we talk a lot about bankers here, and I want to say clearly I love the bankers. I love the banks. We love the courts. We love the system. We love the laws that are in play here for the consumers. When you start understanding consumer laws or the law period, okay, generally you will not be angry because you understand that there's just as many cards stacked up against them as they are against you. You just have to learn how to use them. First of all, you have to learn them. Okay, so the bankers are good people. They're good corporations. Again, they print money. And as I always explain, the amount of ink it takes to print a dollar bill is the same amount of ink it takes to print a $100 bill. Okay, so we love the bankers. They can print money for as long as you need them to. You're not hurting them. You're not robbing them. I don't care how they get paid. I don't care how many times they get paid. It's none of your business either. What they take and they do with their own money is their business. What you do with your money is your business. If they want to violate the law because 90% of the people don't know the law, I don't blame them for that. I don't blame them not one bit. Okay? This world goes around based on what you know and what you don't know. If you have a job, you went for training. You went to school for years. You spent money in order to get that job or that skill. You had to learn it. You've been a consumer all your life, and you've never taken the time to educate yourself on what a consumer is, what a debt collector is, what a creditor is. And because of that, paid a lot of money, or you're paying a lot of money that can be in your own pocket. And if the money is laying out there and nobody is claiming it, and they're giving you the opportunity and affording you the opportunity to keep that money in your pocket and to make them pay when they try to get it, I don't know what else you can ask for. We don't do the victim thing here at Thor. We're not premised on sympathy or empathy. We're an educational group, and we're here to educate you. They're educated. They have loss mitigation department. They have paralegals. They have attorneys there. They're educated. These attorneys went to school. They paid a lot of money. They worked hard to get a license to do what they do. You chose the path you chose by going to college and maybe getting a business degree or a medical degree or whatever it is. Okay, you should have took some time to learn about what you participate in every day, and that's being a consumer. So if you didn't take that time, and they did, I got a lot of static on somebody's phone. If you didn't take that time to do the same, that is not their fault. That is your fault. Thor is here. There's other groups out there that are teaching this information, and definitely you should get it. And if you don't think it's important, then don't complain about the banks. All right? Speaking of banks, some news out there is that economically, of course, we deal with economical events. The House Financial Services Committee has announced that a hearing is planned for Thursday on legislation to reform the Federal Reserve. So, as y'all know, the Federal Reserve is the corporation, private corporation, that is responsible for the printing and value of your currency that most of you use, which is affectionately called a dollar, cash, cheddar, cheese, guap, and all those other affectionate terms. So there's a meeting on legislation to reform the Federal Reserve, all right? And that is planned for Thursday. That's something that all of you should be concerned about. It is said that The article says that it is noteworthy that this morning it was announced that all the central banks have determined that transparency is not working for them and that they are going back to a more opaque, okay, serious way of operating. Okay, so the banks, I don't know where they were transparent at, but at any rate, they said they're going back to darkness, meaning they're not going to let you know what they're doing. This truthful way and open way and clear window way of doing things, we want the tenant windows back. We want to do things the way we do things. We want to keep the people in the dark. And, you know, that transparency stuff is, to me, a bunch of crap anyway. There's nothing transparent about this world. Even your sitting president talks about transparency, and we all know that there's a whole lot that he's not transparent about. So that's what they want to do. It's going to be a big meeting on the Federal Reserve reforming it. For those of you that don't understand, the Federal Reserve is not federal, okay? It is a private corporation, just like McDonald's, Burger King, Gold's Gym, privately owned by some wealthy people, and they are responsible for that currency that you use, and they've been trying to reform it for the longest because those that control the money control the country. Keep that front and center. All right, what else has happened this week and the last week is U.S. Bank is paying $200 million for ripping off homeowners and taxpayers. What else is new? $200 million is nothing. They probably foreclose on $200 million in property per month worldwide. That is a month's work for them, maybe. You just think if you're in California or certain parts of the country, if you do $200 million houses, that's $200 million right there. And you have 50 states. So $200 million is really nothing. Again, it costs the same amount to print a $1 bill as it does a $100 bill or $1,000 bill. So that's nothing. J.P. Morgan Chase called falsifying ownership documents. What else is new? Homeowner quiet title and award of $250,000 in attorney fees upheld on appeal. That sounds good, but $250,000 in attorney fees and the homeowner gets what? A house that they already owned? You can't pay me with something that you only had a nickel or not even that in. That is not compensation. If you already owned your house and they never had an interest in it, them giving you your house is not compensation. For some of you, it might be. That's your choice. But $250,000 in attorney fees, well, that's great. Helps the attorney. It's $250,000 for them. Does the homeowner get quiet title? Well, title was never there. But, you know, you talk to those homeowners, they believe they got a deal. You worked hard and paid $250,000. Well, they paid $250,000 in attorney fees. I guess that's a deal. All right, to each his own. Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, Register of Deeds, shellacks Merce. The court agreed that Merce was nobody. We all knew that. But it's an interesting order. You should read it. You should Google it. I like the way the court and the judge broke it down, and that was in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, federal court. And the county sued Merce Corp, Inc., and Mortgage Electronic Registration System. Notice the two names there. Okay, notice that one died and one is living. Notice when they talk about the latter was in existence when these violations took place, which is the only reason why they named Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems, Inc. I know many of you talk about Merce, but Merce died, had a silent funeral some years ago, and many of you are not aware of that. But it was interesting, you can read that order, the court broke down that, you know, and this was a case, I don't want people to get confused, what the county recorder beat Merce on is basically trying to get around recording fees, all right, running their own recording system, electronic recording system. So Merce wasn't suing them for you, for the homeowners. They were suing them because at $35, $40 a pop to record something, Merce was doing millions of them and not paying the county recorder their fees. Okay? So at $40 a pop, millions of homes in the Merce recording system, it's a lot of money for a county. Understand that. Not just a state, for a county. So a state has multiple counties. Okay? So the district court agreed that Merce was not abiding by the laws of that state, specifically that county. But this case was about, this was about more so Merce when they were foreclosing in their own name. And some of you maybe have experienced that, where Merce was actually, this was some years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, they were doing the foreclosures in their name, claiming that they were the mortgagee. And there's certain language in many of you deed of trust and your mortgages that some of it said that, you know, Merce is the nominee for the lender, okay? And the court broke down the language, and you should read that language, and they did a great job. Same thing I've been saying for years, is that Merce is only deemed the mortgagee for recording purposes. And it says that in your mortgage. It says that in your deeds. For purposes of recording the mortgage, Merce is the mortgagee. So that means the lender only gave them the power as the mortgagee to record the mortgage, not to foreclose on the mortgage. Okay? But also, the court went a little bit deeper and talked about the transfers and how they have to be sent to the county recorder. And they spoke about some other salient points that most of you should read. And I always tell everyone to read says, not all the time they're right, but read what they say, how they're viewing things, how they look at things, instead of reading a bunch of complaints. Complaints are just that. They're complaints. And I know people say, oh, wow, that complaint sounds great. Reads great. Yeah, reads great. But then, you know, we have to see what the court says about it. So you read the orders more so than you read the complaints, all right, and what the courts are saying, all right? So it's a very interesting order. Again, it's the Merce decision, the county recorder, which is, I think I just said the name, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. So now you're going to see all the counties jumping on them, at least in Pennsylvania. All the counties are going to jump in there and start suing Merce and get some of that money back. And either you're going to see Merce go ahead and do another funeral for Merce Corp and maybe do another recording system, because I believe me and my staff was talking about they wanted to develop a new system, a new recording electronic system, or someone was trying to, and of course they're going to, and I explained to them, and they was like, they're doing another recording system, they feel that electronic mortgages and recording is better, and, you know, and I said, of course, guys, of course they want to do that. Why? Because everybody still gives Merce validity. Everybody but us here at Thor. If you're assigning a debt while it's in default, you're just a debt collector. You can call yourself Merce. You can call yourself a rat. You can call yourself the son of Abraham. I don't care who you are. If you are assigning a debt while it's in default, you're a debt collector. And I can put all of you under the same umbrella and get all of you a daiquiri and let you sip on the same straw at the same time you're writing me a check for violating the consumer protection laws. That's it. For those of the gurus out there who want to play United States attorney, then you'll talk about Merce and the decisions, and Merce did this and they did that. Of course, yeah, they did it. You need to know what they did. Don't get me wrong. But those of you that are at Thor understand that Merce is just a debt collector. They assigned the debt the alleged debt while I was in default. I really don't care about anything else. All the rest of the language in the debt doesn't matter. Why? Because consumer protection law is about what? Behavior and conduct. Behavior and conduct. Behavior and conduct. Not about the debt, about behavior and conduct. You were supposed to do this. You wasn't supposed to do that. You were supposed to call. You didn't call. You were supposed to sin. You didn't sin. You were supposed to write. You didn't write. You were supposed to do this. You didn't do that. It's not about the debt. It's about your conduct and your behavior. That's it. What better law can you have on your side than conduct and behavior? Why? There's a pretty good living made based on human conduct and behavior. I'll give you one for example. You're driving down the road. You're speeding. You're exceeding the posted speed limit. That's conduct and behavior. You made a right turn, forgot to turn on your turn signal. You might have been on the phone, might have been biting your hamburger. Well, that's an actionable violation under your transportation code. You made an illegal turn without signaling. That's conduct and behavior. You spit on the ground. That's loitering. You might have had to spit. You might have had something in your mouth. But that's conduct and behavior. Okay? So we all know this country makes a great bit of wealth on conduct and behavior. Period. We'll leave it there. All right, let's see what else. The Maine, state of Maine, Supreme Court kicked Mercer in the butt, too. And they said, they kicked Mercer and Bank of America in the butt. They said Mercer does not have the power to assign a mortgage in Maine. So for those of you in Maine, you need to be having a Mercer party. If you ever been foreclosed on and they assigned the mortgage, now, what does that mean? All right? Girls, let's talk about what that means. The Maine Supreme Court, the highest court in the state of Maine, said not that Merce couldn't record anything. They say you don't have the power to assign a mortgage in Maine. Well, if Merce can't assign the mortgage, y'all just got a raise. Y'all properties is more than likely, and I hate to use this terminology because y'all know I hate it, free and clear. If they can't assign a mortgage, who's going to do it? If they're listed on your instrument as the nominee, as the custodian, as the bartender, as the waiter, as the waitress, as the homeowner, as the bank, as the servicer, you know how they list it, and they can't do any of that, where else do they go? So they were macerated in Maine. I mean, it's a done deal. Like, you can probably go down there and buy some of their furniture. They're closing up their offices. Oh, they don't have an office anyway. Really, all they have is access to the MERS system as a member. Okay? And I explained to you and shared with y'all something that was very funny but very real in terms of how this MERS system works. And basically, it's just like signing up for a website. You pay a membership fee. You get login, name, and a password. And you get to go into the MERS system, the foreclosure firms, the servicers, allegedly, the debt collectors, and they're allowed to go in there and basically do what they want. They can do an assignment over here. They can do an assignment to Africa. They can do an assignment to Bolivia. I mean, they can do what they want. And I'm going to tell you how funny it is. Brother Maynard, and he's on the phone, and he'll tell you. He shared with me a case I shared with you last week, and I'll share it again. He had a woman that had eight assignments. The first three or four assignments were done in the first week, and I'm not lying. There was an assignment from this person to that person, and they said, no, well, let's send it from here to here. They did one on the first, then they did one on the third, then they did one on the fourth, then they did one on the sixth, then they did one on the seventh, and I'm not lying. Okay, matter of fact, I don't want y'all to think that I'm telling a story here. I'm going to bring in Maynard and let him tell y'all himself. Brother Maynard.
Yes, sir.
Will you tell the people that are listening how funny this MERS system works, where you had that good friend of yours that had 7 or 8 assignments? And will you tell them how the assignments were done in 1 week? I think there were 3 or 4, okay?
Yeah,
three or four.
Mm-hmm. And they had – there's no chain. There's no consistency within the assignments. It's not going from A to B and then B to C. Going from A to B and then E to F.
B to A.
And then back again to A to B. It's a total, total mess.
And it shows, and it demonstrates how there's no rhyme or reason to that system, and how really they're not transferring anything, how they're not assigning anything. And that case is a multi-million dollar case for someone just taking those assignments on an FDCPA and your state consumer protection laws, and absolutely beating the snot out of them for every last one of those assignments. And it demonstrates that that system and use of that system just absolutely means nothing, and anybody can do it. How bad did that open up your eyes, Maynard, when you seen those? When you told me, I said, you're lying, man. There's no way.
You did.
I said, Maynard, you must be reading something wrong. Like, come on, for real. He's like, no, we're three. I'm serious. There's 7 assignments. I'm like, get out of here. Now, I've seen a couple. I've seen 2 maybe. But 7? He's like, I'm going to send them over to you. I said, yeah, I'll be waiting on that one. I kept clicking. I was like, where are they? Where are they, Maynard? It took a while. But he sent them to me, and I'm just telling you, it's a perfect example of a login and a password, and go in and just work the system like you want. You can send it over to your mother, then change your mind and sell it to your cousin and assign it over to me and to you. And, I mean, you know, it was just ridiculous.
It really opened my eyes. I mean, and then you went in and started explaining this to me, and I'm just like, are you kidding me? It's absolutely meaningless. It's just not worth the paper it's written on.
And haven't I always said that? I said those assignments, you would think that somebody in a big round office is sitting there and somebody with a suit, 3-piece suit on, and they're looking like, okay, yeah, well, Merce, we're going to assign this over to this bank, and we're going to do this because the mortgage says we can. You understand that there is nobody probably past a high school diploma that are doing these assignments. There's some clerks sitting in there saying, okay, just go on the MERS system, this is our login, and assign it over to Booby Bob's debt collection company over there, and that'll be okay. We'll fix it. And we'll take that, because that document we're going to use, we're going to record that document that clerk or whoever it was issued that instrument, supposedly in compliance with your home, okay, your home, okay, your constitutionally protected right of home ownership. We're going to assign that 7 times, 4 times in the first week, and we're going to take that to the court in New York, which is judicial, meaning that the court and the judge will look at those, and we're comfortable taking 7 assignments into that case and have an attorney present it and be like, no, they're right. No, that is right. But it's absolutely fine. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous, all right? Absolutely ridiculous. Well, thank you, brother. I'm going to get back. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Sharif.
So, yes.
Hey, Sharif. You know, the other thing along those lines, whenever they're doing all that recording in the county recorder's office with the assignments, you know, the other tricky part in the language when they do that is they always put on there together with certain notes or together with the note.
Yeah, they don't always do it, but there is a batch out there, a pretty substantial batch that has. And we've explained that MERS never holds any notes. They're not named on your note. They don't take any payments. They've never been paid anything. And, in fact, to be honest with you, the valuable consideration language on there, I'm like, well, what did MERS receive? They don't receive any money. Well, show me what you paid for that mortgage. What's the valuable consideration? Because we all know. Thor is probably, I think, let me just go ahead. Thor is the first to break down valuable consideration language on those instruments. Nobody else has. And we know what that means, and valuable consideration could be non-monetary. So, you know, that's a simple question that you ask them. What did you pay for the mortgage? It says valuable consideration. Only the note holder, for those of you that are not familiar, only the note holder can give instructions on what to do with that note. And the mortgage follows the note, okay? The note doesn't follow the mortgage. So if you have a MERS assignment that has together with the notes, that is absolutely, completely, and utter nonsense, okay, because MERS never holds a note. They never take possession of any note, all right? That's just period. They even say that, all right? So and your mortgage and your deed of trust says that. Read your note. Read your mortgage. Read your deed of trust. You need to understand it, okay? You need to understand it. So that was a good point you pointed out, Lori. Anything else?
No, I just wanted to, you went exactly where I was wanting to go with that comment. That was exactly where I was headed. And to follow up on you saying, read your note, read your deed of trust, if you'll also notice on there, you know, we touched on this last week on how if you, you know, the perception of what you're reading, when you break it down, it really will become more clear. And whenever you do read those deeds of trust and those notes and you correlate them back to what's in the registry office, I would say 9 times out of 10, I mean, everyone I've ever researched, I've yet to find that 1 out of 10, but 9 times out of 10, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here. It's never even the same person that is entitled to do anything. You know, it's usually some other entity, or it'll be worded as a formerly known as, you know, an FKA or FNA, and it's all just blah blah from the get go.
Just nonsense. Great point.
Absolutely.
All right. Bank of America affidavit templates. Bank of America got busted in court using templates for affidavits, and y'all know everything they do is templated. It's form pleading, form letters. You know, same stuff all the time. Brother Maynard went to court and they did a motion to dismiss on Rooker Feldman. If you file a case, they're always going to say Rooker Feldman if there's a foreclosure involved. I mean, they do the same thing. Just understand. Okay, it's all a game. Just remember that. It's all a game. Stressful game, if you don't know your stuff. Happy game for those that know their stuff. You just smile at it and you keep going. And Maynard was smiling. You see Maynard, you can tell Maynard has a smirk tone. So when he's going, he said, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, that is not what I say. That was funny, though. When he tried to say, I didn't say that. And you see the judge jumped all over and said, don't come in. Look, stop playing those games. That's not what he said. But you start to laugh when you understand the game. When Maynard told me that he had 7 assignments, I said, I don't believe it. But then I started laughing. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, man, that is some ching ching right there. Woo! Okay, you start to find it funny, and you start to see dollar signs when you see these kind of mistakes. Well, they're not mistakes. Affidavits, they do have robo-testifiers and robo-affidavit preparers and people that will lie, but they lie craftily. They're very methodical about their lies. I mean, it will absolutely many times look like they're perjuring themselves, but there are so many windows inside of those affidavits that they're not quite. They're very smart. You got to understand you're dealing with a legal society. They're very smart. They know how to write with exits. At the end of every sentence, there's a window. So it appears that it's saying something, but it's really not. And then you get to go, you know, that's what it says. And it doesn't, no, that's not what they said. I can see you think that it looks that way because you don't understand what you're reading. But, you know, again, it's a deceptive way of doing things. And under the FDCPA, okay, not in the state court, you got to prove, you got the burden of proof to prove that it's deceptive. And that's why you see fraud and all that stuff. You know, it's very vague. You know, in the state court, it's going to be very vague. However, in your consumer protection laws, it's very thin. The perception, okay, 1692J, if the consumer believes, it used the word believes, it's deceptive. It's deceptive. You do not have to prove the elements of emotional distress. Okay? I had one pleading I read for somebody, and it says, well, I have improved the elements of emotional distress. You don't have to. It's a strict liability statute, the FDCPA. It's real simple. Strict liability means, look, if it's determined that you did it and that's a violation that you did, then it caused stress. I mean, come on, we're not going to even argue about that. The consumer protection laws is for the least sophisticated, unsophisticated consumer. That's those that didn't graduate high school or not attorneys or anything like that. In the state court, yeah, you probably need your attorney, okay? If they're going to play those games with those words, they're going to do that third, fourth, fifth party language on you, and you're not going to know what they're saying. They're going to say up, and they're going to be looking sideways, and you're going to be like, no, you said up. No, that's not what up means, all right? So, but in the consumer protection laws, it's very simple. It's like, we don't do the trickery here. Look, you sent that letter. It was meant to deceive them. It confused them. And those words are used in its what? Plain and ordinary language, meaning that it means what it means. If you did it, look, they're entitled to actual damages, which is intentional affliction of emotional distress, period. I don't have to plead the four corners and the elements and, you know, put everything together just right and do the Rubik's Cube and all that. No. That's what I love about the consumer protection laws. All right? All right. What else? Let's see what
else.
Hey,
you know what? I got to make a comment on that real quick. You know, you were saying
go
that
right
the FDCPA is a strict liability statute. And a lot of people get caught up in this. You know, I want to plead foreclosure fraud and fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And, and how you continue to say if you just stick in this lane of the FDCPA, you know, it becomes so much easier. And with it being a strict liability statute, you don't have to prove intent. The intent's not there. And whenever you start screaming fraud in the courts, intent is one of the elements that you have to prove with fraud. And,
sure.
Which makes, you know, that fraud is just, it's a crazy.
Right. You have to prove intent. Yeah. You have to prove mens rea, which is mindset. It's a lot of things. That fraud, you have to really be able to dig into someone's mind. How anybody is able to do that is, to me, another gray area of litigation. How can you prove someone's mens rea? How can you prove somebody's mindset, their intent? How do you know what's going on in somebody's mind? Well, we see that on TV all the time. Well, at this time, he was thinking his intent was, how do you know what my intent was? But at any rate, on another case, J.P. Morgan Chase executed and recorded false documentation purporting to transfer ownership and that a Chase executive created a fraudulent document. Okay, that's in the Court of Appeal, 4th Appellate District, California. All right, a Chase executive created the transfer. Well, now, do you think they might have been talking about using the MERS system? Of course. Now, if we had a slot machine in Vegas that was giving out too much money, they would shut it down immediately. Okay? But we have a MERS recording system that is fraudulently transferring millions of people's erroneously, most of the time using the county recording system and many times using the courts, but the system is still up. They haven't unplugged it. Meanwhile, they want to do a kill switch on the internet in case they don't want you to use the internet. They want to be able to shut it off, or they're trying to control the internet more and more, but MERS is still out there doing their crimes. Unbelievable. Layla, you can jump in.
Well, I'm here, actually. Thank you so much, Brother Sharif. With MERS, you know, MERS breaks that chain of title. We have everything is hot off the press. Everything we're talking about came out yesterday. Very little news is anything over 2 weeks old that we're talking about. MERS, I mean, when Brother Sharif talked about that case in Pennsylvania and the fact that those MERS, well, the assignments were not being recorded, that is definitely major for Maine, and it will set a precedence in every state in the union. So what MERS talks about, I mean, what Thor talks about is the exact truth. That's what we're about, the exact truth. There's an article that that just came out yesterday. It's listed on Blacklisted. Talks about the Murrah system and that it breaks the chain. Other courts have gone. They look at it differently. Some courts agree that the real property is to be recorded on paper, but some courts don't necessarily believe that. But they're usually dealing with the people like us at Thor who come with our individual cases to confront them, to cause them to make some sort of a decision. And, that defeat that they just received in Pennsylvania concerning MERS is going to really, really cause a major upheaval. And I'm so excited about that. I hope that you all are too. When Brother Sharif was talking about the psychology and how do we get in some people's brains, I mean, really and truly there are, as we know, by the way, it's Facebook. Facebook has their system designed to look at the things that we do, and they try to anticipate what move we're going to make so that they can generate their advertising, so cause us to spend our dollars for those advertisers. There's an article that just came out that talked about how these debt collectors for years, back in the 1940s, I believe, 1946, they actually came up with an experiment to figure out how to get people to pay debt through the way that they market. And I'm using the word marketing because that's really what it is, how they send those letters out to the consumer to cause them to want to spend, to go ahead and pay that debt, even though they're a debt collector and they're not the creditor. They're not the party that's supposed to be paid, as we understand. But these debt collectors have found creative ways to create a sensational, emotional experience when a consumer receives a letter so that it will elicit us as a consumer to engage with them when we might not necessarily need to. So that was very interesting. And they just talk about the history and how they get into the psychology of what we do as consumers. So you take that from a debt collector perspective and you look at everything across the entire spectrum. You look at the Murrah system. You look at the banking system. Although the banks are our friends, we know that they put a reserve account. So therefore, when we stand strong and tall on our own, we go bring a case against any of these institutions that are fake pretender creditors, that they're actually debt collectors, and we can go against them. They have that little slush fund ready and available once we stand our ground, so to speak, and prove that, they are who they are. We know them to be as an A6, and they end up conceding. And that's what we're hearing. That's the progression that we're hearing when we hear about these cases that are coming up. On behalf of Thor, that's what it is that we bring. Let's see, what else do we have here? There's some other news. When Brother Sharif started talking about the Federal Reserve setting a meeting this Thursday, that was definitely breaking news. I did not know that, and that is something that's concerning. But they're talking about the quantitative easing that has been around over these last few years to be able to thwart this crisis we're in. And what they're saying is that the numbers for the first quarter of this year were down. Now, I just saw an article across the net while I was entering my email account the other day. I think it was yesterday, in fact, and they said that the economy is recovering. That's what the cover story was. I didn't read the story, but it says the economy is recovering. Well, this very article yesterday says that the first quarter growth was a negative 2.9%. So we're getting mixed messages, and that's why I implore everybody to please make sure you don't follow the mainstream media, because they're only fooling you. They're not giving you they're not giving you the facts. And that's what causes us to be mesmerized and lacking the ability to make a decision, because when you hear what Thor has to say and you hear what the mainstream has to say, like, what do I do? And you get stuck. You get stuck in a vice. You don't know what to do. This article says,
AKA Truth Radio.
That's right, Truth Radio, that's right. And so they're saying that in the second quarter, because we just finished the second quarter, June 30th represented the second quarter, and they're saying that if the second quarter shows a decline like the first quarter did, they're going to, they say that the U.S. will officially be in a recession. That's exactly what the thought. So that says that, you know, it means that there's no fiscal policy. So that moves into why they want to go ahead and meet on Thursday to reform the Federal Reserve.
Look, Donald Trump did a news radio interview, and he said that the type of calamity you're going to see in the next few months in terms of the economy is going to be unlike anything you've ever seen. He's never said that before.
That is correct.
Y'all need to look that up. I think he was, I don't know what show he was on, but he said that. He rang the bell. And when you see all this movement in the White House and going on with the banking system and everything, you know, I'm just telling y'all, you cannot be programmed by the television. Telling lies visually is how that word television is broke down. You cannot rely on that. Those are corporate-owned Hollywood movie producer TV stations is basically what they are. And you cannot believe that. They're designed and job is to keep you blind, train you on how to think, what to buy, when to do it, how to do it, where to do it, what everybody else is doing, and why you should do it. And that's all they're doing. You have to go really what they consider the underground, but I believe it's the above ground for your real information. And that information is not as vast as your, you know, your network TV station. You really have to search for truth, news on what's really going on. And what's really going on is that things are not that great out there, okay? They're not that great out there. They're not bad, okay? You still have the debt collector society owning most of those debts that y'all are blaming the banks for. I'm being honest with y'all guys. If y'all haven't learned anything, it's not the banks anymore. They don't want that problem anymore. They've sold those debts to debt collectors, and the debt collectors are many times using their names for name recognition, okay? The banks have debt. They got other things to deal with right now than to be dealing with some doggone debt, right? They're trying to produce new money. They're trying to produce new debts, all right? They're trying to increase the value of their currency. They're trying to stop the Justice Department and the other politicians from jumping down their throat for what they already have done, okay? They're busy throwing some of their executive off of bridges and from, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they got a lot of other problems than to be worrying about you and these doggone houses. I'm just telling you, all right?
Absolutely. And, you know, in line with that, you know, where this is potentially going, it's just really incredible because, you know, they're touching on a lot of different things. It's all financially based. But, you know, the housing market has always been, or the real estate, has always been the foundation of wealth in this country. And with a lot of these properties being underwater, so to speak, meaning for those of you who are not aware of that, that's when you own more on the property than what the value of the property is worth. It creates a major, major havoc. The other thing that's happening in the economy is that the second mortgages, people that have had second mortgages for a while, they're going to be ready to reset. And over the next several years, principal payments will be added now to the interest payments on their second mortgage loan, and they're not going to be able to afford it. And then that's going to throw in another wave. So what they say is they're anticipating another disastrous, I mean, they bold this, disastrous wave of foreclosures is what they're anticipating. So everything that Thor is doing right now is, you know, you might know somebody who is just fine today, and they're not experiencing anything. Everything is peachy for them. But you need to be making them aware. They need to be at least starting to listen to what Thor is saying so that you can be proactive. That is what Thor is all about. We just heard Brother Maynard say he likes being on the offense. This is about being proactive so that you can be ahead of the curve. I just always believe in being ahead of the curve. And there's so much, wouldn't want to say uncertainty in the air. It's always best to be proactive. Here's something that's very interesting that I want to actually read this to you guys, because I think the implications of this spell out what it is that Thor talks about. Now, this is in line with quantitative easing, and it says if the Fed is not, and they're talking about mortgages as well, and they're saying that if the Fed, meaning the Federal Reserve, is not inclined to renegotiate mortgages itself, it can provide very low interest seed money to capitalize state-owned banks. So, okay, we know that they provide monies to the banks. That's how we get the Fed has a Fed rate, and then they have the discount rate that goes to the banks, and the banks get their money from the Fed at a very, very small interest rate, and then we know that they put a little something on it to you and I as a consumer when we want to come in and get an auto loan or some sort of a share loan or any other type of loan. You know that they're going to add something on top of that. But this was a model of the banks of North Dakota. Now, what they say is that these publicly owned banks could buy up mortgage pools secured by in-state real estate at a discount off the face amount outstanding and refinance the mortgages at today's long-term interest rates. So what they're proposing is that these banks, if they buy up these mortgage pools, they now become, you think of them as a creditor, but they now become debt collectors. So just the implication, they're stating that this is what they recommend that they do, that the banks become debt collectors.
Well, I found interesting in terms of economy is that we are in deep financial trouble as a country. The dollar is really not worth much anymore. California, I've seen introduce a law making Bitcoin legal currency. So when you start to see the states start moving away from the common currency, as people should know, states are their own individual country. Every country, every state is a country. Why? It has a constitution. All right? Every state is a country. So when people say, well, were you born in the U.S.? We're not going to get into that, but, if you were born in a state, that state is a country. That state issues its own birth certificate. All right? It's not a U.S. birth certificate. All right? The state of whatever state you're in, Nevada, is different than Nevada. If you look on a map, you will see Nevada. You won't see the state of Nevada. Those are different. So every state is a country, but California has went on ahead and said, look, Bitcoin is money. Arizona has gold machines, okay, that you can go to the machine like you buy a Coke and buy gold. So they're using gold down there. So you have to look at what's going on around you and see that they're getting away from the Federal Reserve note, that currency, use an alternative currency. The Internal Revenue Service came out today and say Bitcoin is considered assets. So they're trying to jump in and, of course, get their piece of the Bitcoin thing, and that's causing a big, stir up. As you know, the Feds, I believe, confiscated some billions of dollars in Bitcoins from some guy. They said he was selling drugs. I don't know. One of the owners. I don't know. But, you're going to have a lot of these different alternate currencies coming up. Commodities, gold, silver, and things of that nature is on the upswing because, that paper money, I think it's going away. Also, I'm going to tell you about my belief, okay, on one thing that's important when we talk currency. I remember some years ago I used to hear about this Amero dollar that was coming out, and it was basically going to be a collective currency for Mexico, the U.S., and Canada. And this was some years ago. The talk was around, the discussion was around, and it was interesting. But now I'm starting to read on this news on this immigration stuff and how a lot of so-called immigrants, and my personal belief is that there are no immigrants necessarily here. I think we're a country of immigrants. I think everybody that's here is not from here, but probably was born here. But I think there are certain people that are indigenous to this land that was here, and that really makes a difference. Doesn't make a difference either way. But I have a lot of people coming from Mexico, and you know, I'm reading all these stories about, you know, they're being sent through Texas. I have friends in Texas, friends in Arizona, and they said, man, they're everywhere in busloads and protests, and the mayor out in California saying they got to allow them here, and you got the counties are talking about we're not holding any more immigrants because it's costing us $25 million a year. There's something really going on here big with the influx of our Mexican people. And while they are being allowed to come here and come here in the amounts that they're coming here in, which is thousands upon thousands, okay? My belief is this. It's just my belief. Might be a little bit off topic, but I've discussed it with my crew here, and I just believe. I believe that we're going to see a combining of Mexico, the United States, and maybe Canada. Because at this point, it's too expensive to man those borders, I believe. Maybe not, but they haven't. If it's so many of us here from different areas, such as Mexico and the U.S., it's going to be hard to determine how many is here. So it would just make sense to say, you know what, let's just combine and bring the U.S., bring Mexico under the U.S., maybe Canada. They already have the health care for their country there, so it would be an easy fit. Mexico doesn't have it, but, you know, maybe they can use it. And I just think you're going to see a combining of those three countries, or at least two. That way they can deal with the drug problem, I guess, in Mexico. The U.S. will take over, send the military down there, clean it up, combine everything together, and just roll it out. That's my belief. I see it that way. I really do. I feel it. I sense it. I feel no other reason why they would let things go the way they're going, or maybe it's beyond their control. And, you know, that'll expand the footprint of the U.S. as you see over there in Russia. They're expanding and going out into that country. I forget the country's name. So everybody's trying to expand their footprint, okay, out there, and I think that's what's to come. But anyway, let's get back on. Layla, you take back over.
Oh, well, I mean, it's a really interesting concept there. And, you know, only one knows. That's what I have to say about it. Only one knows. You know, with the expansion of the footprint, we've got these cities that are looking to utilize eminent domain in certain mm-hmm. instances when it comes to dealing with the mortgage situation. What they do is they deal with private investors, and they acquire underwater mortgages. And with that, they're able to – let me just pause here for a second because
on. All the states are doing is doing Las Vegas gambling, mm-hmm. putting in a nickel, selling it
yep.
back to you for $2. That's all. We mean eminent domain. We're going to buy up the mortgage. You're not buying up Jack. These things have been sold off. They're worth nothing. And now you're going to say, well, we're going to go and buy them for pennies on the dollar. And we're going to sell it back to you, give you a good interest rate. Bull crap. You're just creating money out of nothing. There's nothing owed on these debts. They're debt collectors, and period. They should be absolutely just zeroed out.
They're playing that game.
To the people. Mm-hmm.
They're jumping on the bandwagon and they're playing that game, you know. And then they're turning around and selling the properties for fair market value. So they're no different than those debt collectors, just like you said. That's why I said I had to pause. it's a big racket is really what it is. It's a big racket, and that's why we need to wake up family. That's why we need to be taking action, because if we don't take action, they're doing it for themselves. And, you know, we talked about this before. They're not looking out for the people. They're looking out for their own pocketbooks, and that's what this is all about.
Well, again, I have to disagree with you again. Again, if the people, if the consumer were educated, stop watching TV, stop watching the Kardashians, stop watching Atlanta Housewives, and if we educate ourselves as people in the law, as consumers, then these things wouldn't go on. Again, you wouldn't have people arguing about MRSA if they knew that, okay, MRSA is a debt collector, they signed a debt while I was in the fall. Okay, great. You're a debt collector. That's all. Simply, you're a debt collector. But that's why they say we need to come up with another electronic registration system. Yes, of course, because why? People still believe in it. People still don't know the difference. So when you talk about people in the mortgages and they're lining up around the corner like they are in New York saying, just please give me a modification, you know, you got to have programs for people that don't want to learn. And
I agree
it's too many people that don't want to learn. We're working. We've got four or five jobs. We're trying to keep up. We're trying to, you know, we're slaving. We're, you know, we make a dollar. We lose 60% before we even leave the door. We're coming home with 40 cent, trying to make it with 40 cent. And then the remaining 40 cent, you know, we got debt collectors trying to take, you know, 20 cent of that. So with that condition of the country and people just merely not being educated and the law and the books and the information being readily available to them, what else are you going to do other than saying, well, okay, since you don't want to read, we'll buy your mortgage, sell it back to you for a better deal than the debt collectors are doing, and we'll put the Superman suit on, and to you, we'll be your hero because you just don't want to read. Simple as that.
And that's correct, and that's why, you know, we all have a choice. We have to decide. Really, we have to decide. So I don't know what we disagreed about or what you disagreed about what I said, but nonetheless, I mean, that whole premise is that, you know, we have the power to make our own decisions, and we have the power to the information that Thor is providing to the people to be able to make the change and make the difference and stand up for ourselves and help other people stand up for themselves as well. And I think that's what it is that we aim to do when we come here. You know, the choice is ours. We have the FDCPA, we have the FCRA, we have the TCPA, we have the rules of evidence, we have the rules of procedure, we have the state consumer protection laws, we have all of them at our disposal. And if we take the time, energy, and effort to learn these very, very important statutes for our own lives, we will only empower ourselves. We won't be a victim to all of these machinations that these entities are performing against the people. I consider them atrocities, but it's really to our own detriment if we don't do anything about it.
Yeah, and shout out to the people of California out there, because today it looks like the city of San Francisco is going to be voting on a resolution involving eminent domain. So you guys out there, you ought to put your ear to the ground and educate yourself on what's going on with that, with the Board of Supervisors. Check that out.
Yeah, you got to understand these states are countries, and they have to look out for the well-being of their country. That's what you have to basically understand, that they have to look out for the well-being of their country. And, you know, they've agreed by being a part of these United States. You have to understand that is a legal terminology when your president says these United States, okay? They've united with other states and agreed to use their currency and everything else, but they maintain their sovereignty as an individual state country. They have their own constitution, and for those that have two-party citizenship, meaning that you are a state and a federal citizen, then they have to have courts and laws there that governs those dual citizens. You need to look that up. So they're doing things on their own, not depending on the government. You know, California had said yesterday, they said, look, we're not holding any more immigrants, so-called, they call immigrants, any immigrants in the state jails for ICE, which is immigration, okay, enforcement. And if you want us to hold them, then you got to get a warrant and go before a judge. you know, the feds are costing the states a lot of money, and the states are just, you know, they're like, look, we're done. We're scrapped for money too. And, you know, it's a lot, the reason why I bring these things up is to explain to the people that there is a lot of conflict in the land of Babylon. There is a lot of confusion out there. There is a lot of in and out fighting. There is a lot of power playing. There's a lot of beefing. And everybody is scrambling. Everybody is trying to survive. There is county against state, state against federal. Okay, there's a lot going on. There's the Fed squeezing on the states and the counties, and some counties pushing back, saying, look, we're going to do our own thing. You know, we have sovereignty in our state, okay, and feds have limited authority in those states, when you understand law, all right? And there's a lot going on. I mean, there is absolutely a lot going on. I don't think y'all hear a third of really what's going on, okay? So we have a person in the chat room that said, U.S., Canada, Mexico combining the security and prosperity partnership. You're not wrong. In order to compete with the economy of China, this plan has been on the table. Well, thank you. I thought I was a little bit right. China is broadening its footprint. And as y'all know, China, I believe, from information I read, I think owns maybe 51% of the U.S.
Michigan? they're all over Michigan, man. They're like,
they're all over. And then I read an article that China had went over there and bought some of the Bahamas too. They were bought. I mean,
yeah.
China's just been on the roll. You understand? We borrow money from China. Yeah, for those of you that don't know, we borrow money from China, a bunch of it. So everything in this country is for sale. I was looking at an article that there was a town in California that was for sale. You can actually buy a whole town. And it was for sale for like $400,000. It was about, what was it, about 13 miles wide? I don't know, 13, 14, I don't know, miles wide. Little town. You can go there and buy your own town, get your own police department, make your own rules, get your own mayor. You can buy anything in this country. The highways you're riding on, you would be surprised, it's not owned by that state. It's owned by Mr. Koslavia over there in Russia or Mr. Lang over there in China. I mean, everything is for sale in this country. That's the problem. We don't own anything anymore. Okay? A lot of these debt collectors, if you start getting into discovery and getting into their initial disclosures, meaning that they're going to reveal who they're owned by, who has an interest in that company, who will be affected by any money award from this particular company, its subsidiary, or its parent company, you will start to see, oh, wow, you're owned by a company in the Cayman Islands, over there in Bolivia, over there in the Bahamas, over there in Russia, over there in China. You have to really get into it and start seeing the world for what it is. It's much different than you think. Our country is not owned by our country. Your president is the president of the United States Corporation, not the country. The United States Corporation, he does business, commerce. That's what his job is. Okay? All right, so just keep that in mind. Very good topic. What else did you want to touch on, Layla?
Anything anybody else wants to touch on? Oh, well, I think we did talk about this. Talk about the psychology. Rudy, what would you like to speak about? Lori, what would you like to speak about? Oh, here's an article. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to I ran across some stats out of the CFPB, which is the Consumer Financial Protection Board or Bureau, who just like the FTC, FCC, your state attorney general's office, so on and so forth, you know, are out there making money off of our injuries, if you will. As of to date, the CFPB has had 17,114 complaints, right? These are complaints because they, you know, these bureaus, they entice you or encourage you to register complaints with them which is really a fishing expedition to, here you go, Frank, man, look at this one. This is a really good. Yeah, we've got five more. Oh, man, this looks like a good moneymaker here. And they're able to go after them. I mean, you know, you're a source, an informant for them. And in which, you know, sometimes there's regulations that come out of it, but mostly, in my opinion, it is a farming expedition to make money. But out of those 17,000 complaints, 4,058 of them, they turned into FDCPA complaints. 4,000, that's almost a quarter of them, right? And 1,000 of them, they turned into SCRA complaints. And then another 1,000, almost 200, well, 1,118, they turned into TCPA complaints. That's like, I mean, you know, you think about the numbers and how big, you know, that organization is, and you factor in the amount of complaints that came in. That's a huge amount of complaints that they turned, or, you know, suits that they filed out of those complaints. You know, that's not just like 20 complaints or 20 suits that they turned, you know, turned back over out of the complaints that were filed with them. That's a really big task.
Yeah.
That's a lot of, you know.
It is. And you know, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, they're your Fed police of the debt collectors, and they're getting that money. Trust me,
they're getting
about the billions. I mean, they're getting that money that you are supposed to get. Now, imagine if the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is able to sue and get billions, and then you turn around and become educated, and you start suing the debt collectors for billions. You see, it's not going to take too long. It's not going to take too long. The remaining factor, the common denominator in this equation, is when are the people going to wake up and start getting their money from the debt collectors. When I talk about money, these states are hurting for money. This is why you see the states turning on the banks. You know, it's guesstimated that Pennsylvania did its job. Now, they're going to get some billions. I mean, because how many mortgages are in that state? You know, and Pennsylvania is a big state. Think about places like Arizona. It's estimated that they're owed about $3 billion, which is the amount of their deficit in the state just from MERS and recording fees. You understand? If every state was to take MERS to task and sue them and win over the recording fees, it's a done deal. Because where is MERS getting their money from? I don't know how much they charge in membership. It can't be that much. All right? So you can knock MERS into the atmosphere if everybody do their job, if all 50 states start doing their job. And this is per county, you got to understand, per county, not on the fact that they were on the mortgage. This has nothing to do with the homeowner. This has to do with just recording fees that is owed the county for them not recording those mortgages. And honestly, and paying taxes on them. Because every transaction, don't you have to pay taxes on when you do a quit claim deed, when you do a transfer? Especially in New York, my goodness, they charge you up the wazoo. So taxes and recording fees, these states can come out of the red. You understand? This is why the attorney generals are going after the banks and the debt collectors. They can get that money. That money has always been there, and they're going to get it. But are you going to get your piece? Why do we keep getting excited when they say, oh, wow, the attorney general went and got $4 billion from Bank of America? Because we hate the banks and we think the banks is doing something wrong, instead of us saying, well, let me go and get my money. Let me go and get my couple of hundred grand from them for violating the state and the federal law. But we don't think like that. We're just used to being cheerleaders sitting in the stand, be like, oh, go get them, CFPB. Oh, go get them, attorney general. Oh, go get them, you know, Office of Thrift Supervision. You know, when are we going to start cheering for ourselves and each other to get our money? When are we going to start demonstrating and showing some checks over here and be like, I got my piece, all right? The sooner we do that, things will start clearing up. They'll start getting in line, all right? But, again, 90% of the people don't know, and they're not reading, and it's a lucrative business. And the attorney general just said, you know, we're going to get our piece. The CFPB said we're going to get our piece. And everybody else is going to get their piece except the homeowner, and you're going to work every day. And for every dollar you get, you're bringing home 40 cents. And for every nickel the debt collector invests, they're getting $2 or $3. I don't know when you're going to wake up.
Hey, in regard to that, you know, when you talk about, you know, where do these people get the money? But, you know, there's one article that talks about Freddie Mac. You know, what they're doing, they're ahead of the curve. We talk about being ahead of the curve. You know, Freddie Mac is attempting to limit its losses. So in order for Freddie Mac, they already know that they're going to have losses. I mean, with everything that people, you know, what's happening with the institutions suing each other, you know, the suits that are being brought by the homeowners, you know, the people that are being educated by SOAR, you know, be able to extract money out of them, they know that they're going to have losses. So what do? They just go ahead and they get what they call risk insurance. And Freddie Mac just got 280, you know, they offload $285 million to their credit risk insurers to avoid any potential future losses. So they're just going to offset it.
Of course. I mean, it's worth it when you're doing, look, they're not doing any, you know, they're not selling cheeseburgers and french fries. I mean, they're dealing with mortgages anywhere from $10,000 to $10 million, depending on who you are. So, of course, just indemnify yourself and be insured, and if you have to pay out something, I mean, you know, you got to pay. But you got to understand these insurance, they expect these companies to abide by the law. And they set parameters saying, now, listen, you know the law is this now. If we find that you're violating the law, we're not going to pay that. You're going to have to pay it. Okay? So insurance companies are not stupid. I mean, they're going to cover themselves too because they know all has to be done is the CFPB or the Justice Department get on them and they be like, look, we're out. You know, we're not going to cover that. If you violate the law, we don't have to cover that claim. So, yeah, they're trying to reduce their liabilities. And, you know, but again, if you got the government involved, you got the states involved, then you got the homeowners involved, it makes it kind of difficult for them to take that chance. It really does. And the piece that's missing is the homeowners. There is more homeowners than there are governmental agencies. There is more people than there are anything else. All right? More people than corporations, period. So the people start waking up, 20% of them, 30% of them, this world would change overnight.
Shazam. Hey, look, check this out, you guys. Y'all were talking about, you know, we were talking about MERS and the membership fees and all that. So for a mere $7,500 annually, you too can be a member of MERS.
How much is it? How much is it?
$7,500. That includes issuers, investors, primary servicers, and trustee custodians.
Well, you know what? Thor wants to sign up and send everybody mortgages. There'll be so many satisfaction of mortgages. They'll be like, what's going on? Wait a minute. We have to cut your membership off. Who's these Thor people? Oh, man, we've been infiltrated. It's the people. Take all those assignments back. So that's all it is, $7,500. So there you go. You can control $7 billion in mortgages just by paying $7,500 in a membership fee for MERS. Get a load of that.
And a $25 MERS corporate seal.
Wow.
Nicely done.
So you notice that they said investors. Investors, yeah. Too. So, you know, just, you know, if we open up a Thor Corporation and got some properties, we can use MERS. Just get
there
a load of that.
Yeah.
You need to put that in someone's pleading. You know, MERS is only $7,500 a year. Are you that's some of the questions that are in your interrogatory, okay, at admission. Are you a member of MERS? How much is that membership? What does that membership afford you, allow you to do? Unbelievable.
You need to be grandfathered.
Yeah, it costs more to send your kid to camp, you know, to a nice camp for the summer than to be a member of MERS, man.
Unbelievable.
Dang it.
And I heard it's only 7 employees that work for MERS, if that, in Virginia. So, I mean, it's a corporation that controls, to an extent, the real property of this country, and there's not even a staff. All right. Speaking of the future, I mean, this is a computer that you can get membership to and control people's way of living. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Only in America, baby.
Only in America. What else we got?
I think that's what I have. I don't have pretty much anything else per se. Well, yeah, we talk about the FDCPA. I mean, that's what we mainly talk about. You know, is the client, the debt buyer client, properly licensed in the state in which they're collecting? We talked about that before.
You know, I know a lot of people focus on that, and that's been one of the areas that a lot of people focus on. It's important, especially in New York and places like that where they have the New York Finance Company. They have state agencies that, you know, debt collectors have to get licensed. They should have bonds on file in case they injure one of the citizens of the state. And that's important because, you know, if they're operating fictitiously or fraudulently, I use that word lightly, or operating outside of the law, they do something to injure you, they need to be bonded. It's like you're bonded and insured when you drop in a vehicle or operating some type of equipment that may cause harm to the public. You should be bonded and licensed. I believe they should be bonded and licensed. But when you say licensed, whether they're licensed to do business in that state, if they're not licensed to do business in that state, then the pathway to the courthouse is closed. They can't use that any functions of that state if they're not licensed and registered and pay taxes for the benefit of those state privileges. So I don't focus on it a lot. Is it important? Yeah. But a lot of people say, well, they're not licensed in the state. Well, that's something that you can't bring a claim of action for. Only the Secretary of State can. That's her job. That's her business. If they're not licensed, you report it to her, and she can take action. She can sue the debt collector. She can send them notice. You know, she can make them aware. But you don't have a private right of action to take against a debt collector that is not licensed. That's the Secretary of State.
I see.
However, that's really misleading. That's really a misleading representation. Whenever you're writing up a complaint,
it is.
And I've seen people
plead it in consumer protection cases, and the judge that's not really, you know, it doesn't affect what you're doing. You can sue them if they're not licensed in that state. If they're foreign corporations for purpose of that state, you can still sue them. You know, you can sue a corporated or unincorporated business. It doesn't matter. So for you, the cause of action, that damage is against the state, not against you, because they're licensed. They're not licensed. You have a corporation name. They're registered somewhere. You know, they're still within the jurisdiction of that state if they're doing business in that state. Okay? So you still got them. And your damages is going to be your damages, but you can't rely upon the fact that they're not licensed as a damage. Most of you don't even look to see if they're licensed anyway. So you're using that as a cause of action. To me, that's not really – you know, worth anything. The fact is that they're here. I got them. I served them. They answered. Look, I just want to deal with my damages, not the state's damages. The state can take care of their own. That's my opinion. Okay, I haven't seen anybody win by on a deceptive practice or unfair practice by saying, well, that license in the state. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, okay, well, what the Secretary of State know, but what did they do to you? How did they injure you?
Yeah, they were illegally collecting my money. Hey, so that reminds me, speaking of that the statute as far as your collectors being registered in your state, I've run across several states, and I wanted to put this out there for about the past couple of weeks, and I keep forgetting to remind everybody. Each state is different on your on the collector's laws. I mean, a lot of them do mirror the FDCPA, but there are a lot of states out there, I think, of course, Washington, Kansas, Virginia. There's a couple of others out there, but they've got, like, at California with your Rosenthal, there's several states out there that have specific, really good, I can't get my head around it, you know, collection laws or Collection Claim Act or Deed of Trust Act or, you know, XYZ, XYZ, XYZ. And it would be so prudent of everyone to go and really research those things within your individual state, because that can really
impact
your health.
Sure, Kansas, Washington, some of the best states out there, consumer protection law. As a matter of fact, they're so good that you can just leave the federal, you know, for a year or two, depending on, I mean, you can play with the federal last and really knock it out the park. In Kansas, in Washington, revised statutes, like, oh my goodness, like it's serious, you know.
Isn't
so
like 10 grand? Isn't it like 10
grand
a violation or
yes.
something?
Yeah. 10 grand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man.
And then triple damages and actual damages. Okay. Now understand,
right.
In the state, you still have your tort claims. You still have the actual damages, in intentional infliction of emotional distress. Then you have $10,000 per violation. You might have treble damages. I mean, I'm serious. Like, one of those cases that I sent you guys, if you didn't notice, some of them are from the district court, but it was a case I sent you, the lady got $8 or $9 million. That was in the state court. That was in the state court. Do you understand? And you can go to both courts under the federal law and under the state law. That was just a state case, and they were trying to collect a $9,000 debt, and she knocked them in the head for $8-something million. Just in state court. Y'all need to read that case. So, you know, you can knock it out of park, state court, and then more than likely, I'll be honest with you, if you're smart and you're negotiating, you would say, now listen, you know I'm going to go to the federal court and knock you in the head too. Okay, so let's just go ahead and let's settle both of those. Okay, so she's probably got another bulk of money, or she probably agreed that she won't take any other action in the federal court to get that money, which I don't know why she would do that. If both laws is available, they're going to sock it to you on both laws. So, you know, you have the state, you still have actual damages in the state, you know, and then you have the federal violation, FDCPA, FCRA, TCPA. Now, I seen an article not too long ago on, you know, people are doing what I've always said, combining all three, all those phone calls, the reporting, and the collection activity. If they're trying to collect, okay, if they're reporting, they're collecting. Did you understand? If they're reporting on your credit bureau, they are collecting. So by and large, if they're reporting on your credit bureau, they're also collecting. If they're collecting, that's a violation also of the FDCPA. If they're calling, then that's a violation of the TCPA. Do you all understand the magnitude in the amount of money that a debt collector can levy upon you or afford you the opportunity to get when they make one phone call or two, let's say two, send one letter, and just doing what they normally do, just reporting to the credit bureau. $1,000 per month on the SCRA per bureau per account. Three bureaus, one account, $1,000 per, that's $3,000 per month. Then you have punitive damages and actual damages, cost and fees, just for the FCRA. If they're reporting, then they're collecting. FDCPA, $1,000 plus actual damages, cost and fees. In some cases, punitive damages has been allowed under the FDCPA. If they call $1,500 per call, okay, or $500 for the first call, $1,500 for the second call, retroactive to the first, they're going to call, especially those of you that are dealing with alleged mortgages. They're going to call like crazy. They're going to send you letters like crazy, and they're going to report like crazy. Like, I don't understand what you guys are not adding up. But some of you still want to go down there and do verified motions for the orangutan to jump up the tree. And I just don't understand why you're playing that game. But, you know, yeah. You do your own math. If that's what you like to do, then have at it. But the amount of money that you are entitled to on those three laws alone, that's not including the state, is just absolutely ridiculous. Okay?
But you have to dispute your credit report in order to kick in that FDRA claim.
You guys have to do
that. What I teach you guys is you dispute, you send out the letter, and you wait. You dispute with the credit reporting agencies electronically, online, and then you send out your notice of dispute along with that, and you just wait. And you get your little ledger, and you add up every month, $1,000 per account, per bureau, per month. And you add the fact that they didn't validate the debt, okay, pursuant to 1692G, within 5 days of their initial communication when they called you, they didn't send out a letter. It's just ridiculous how many ways you can just beat them up, okay? And let me tell you, most of these cases, you will settle most of those cases. You mark my word, Maynard will have a settlement offer within 2 months. Mark my word. Okay? It's easier for them to pay because these are strict liability statutes. It's really clear. It's not ambiguous. They can't do the dog and pony show like they can do in the state court. Can't play with endorsements and, you know, and signatures and allonges and, you know, 50, you know, court rulings over here and another 50 over there and, you know, all this different language they pull out of their butt most of the time, but they say that it's in the instrument itself. They can't play all those games with the consumer protection laws. There are really no games to play. It's really yes or no. With a foreclosure, it's maybe and I don't know. Probably. Preferably. Most likely. All right? And the consumer protection laws, yes or no. Really simple. Okay? I'll share with you one other thing. It's a case that I helped a person on, and FDCPA case, and it's at the discovery stage. And part of the discovery there, they're saying, well, they want to depose me, and they want to ask about, you know, when the last time you made a payment on a debt, and how much was the debt, and we want to use the judicial notice of the mortgage and the deed of trust and the assignment and all that. And I'm just looking, and they're just like, what do I do? I'm like, you should laugh. Why? Who cares if you did get a mortgage, if you did sign a deed of trust? If you're crazy enough to say you did get a loan, that has nothing to do with it. It tells you that they absolutely don't know what they're doing, because you can stand in court and say, let me go ahead and eliminate all your discovery and say, yes, I got a mortgage, I got a loan, I got a this, I got a that, yes, I made payments on it, yes, now what? What do you think that's going to do? It's going to do absolutely nothing, because those laws are about behavior and conduct. You can violate the FDCPA and have a legitimate debt. It's not about the debt. Some people just don't get that. I know I keep saying that, and it's hard sometimes to digest, but it's not about the debt. Okay? If you build a house and you're a builder, there's rules. There's laws that say you have to build it with these specs, with this much this, with this much that. You can build that building, and it look good. And the builder said, look, the building looks good. But, yeah, it's not done in the specs. You got to rip it down. You didn't put enough this. You didn't do that. You didn't do it at this angle. Look, that's not in compliance. You got to take it down. You can have a good debt, and they still violate those laws. It's not about the debt. So this firm is wasting their time. When did you get that? Did you get the debt? Did you get a mortgage? It's not about the money, man. I can tell you don't know what you're doing. So for everybody, understand that. Don't worry about getting deposed on the debt. When they ask you, did you get a loan? I don't know who gave me that loan. I have no idea. And that's the truth. I'm not telling you a lie. You don't know who gave you that loan. You know what the paper says, but you don't know who funded that loan. You absolutely don't. There's legitimate business out here owned by the mob, okay? There are checking the cashes and title loan places that is owned by the mob. Well, it says that title loan gave it to you, but what if the mob was funding it? So could you say where the money came? I don't know where the money came. I know they did paperwork, but I don't know where the money came from. By the way, do you know? Could you prove that X person gave me that loan? I mean, you agree that you just came along in 2005 and I allegedly did this loan in 1995, right? So you don't know who gave me the loan either. You, as a matter of fact, you don't know if they gave me a loan, do you? So what are you asking me that question for? I don't know. I don't know who gave me the loan. I really don't know. But if you can't prove that I got a loan, how can you prove I owe you a dollar?
Think about that. What else we got? Let me get into the announcement.
I don't know. Do you want to go to the caller line?
Well, yeah, let's do that. We haven't taken any questions. People are going to think we're scared of them now. Oh, I don't take any questions anymore. Let's see. Let's go to the caller line here. We'll take some questions, and then we'll do the announcement. I love when Layla bosses me around. All right, we do got some callers. Oh, geez, we got a bunch of callers. All right, let's go to the line. Let's see. Let's go to 856-9515. You're on Thor Radio. Do you have a question?
Peace.
Yeah, it's long. I forgot the question now. Brother Q calling from New Jersey.
All right.
Yeah, well, I just had a few things to say. I just wanted to thank the station, and, you know, I've been watching you grow, so on and so forth. I'm actually pretty, pretty young. I've been starting I actually teach on Federal Debt Collection Practices Act at the college, at Camden County College, and at a few other...
Oh, man,
other,
that's great, brother.
Yeah.
Congrats, man. That's good. That, on the college campus? That's something that we've been wanting to do, man. That's beautiful, Q. That is beautiful, man.
Yeah, I do that. And I actually had a contract with the district as well. I go inside the schools and teach on individuals how to clean up their credit reports and stuff like that. And like I said, I wanted to thank you guys because, like, listening to the station allowed me and, you know, purchasing a few webinars, like, because I was just cleaning up the credit reports. And I called them many times, and I was just cleaning up the credit reports, but I didn't know how much finance I was leaving on the table or the violations because, you know, one of the main ministries is basically that, you know, that financial security is first and foremost, you know, and if you don't have that, then you cannot do anything, you know. So that's one of my main ministries and why I've been able to do what I've been able to do. But, yeah, I've been leaving a lot of money on the table, and you know, so now I had to reorganize my whole entire ministry, and I've been kind of like emulating you guys and emulating the ministry, you know, just based on the fact that, you know, there's a lot of money left on the table, and I had to, you know, like I'm not teaching right now because I had to regroup everything together. Like, wait, hold on. Everything I said, you guys got to throw that out, you know. And, you know, we're not cleaning up the reports anymore. We're going to go get this money, you know. So I had to shut down a lot of things. Yeah. But I've definitely been emulating you guys, and, you know, thank you. And I actually sent you an email because I teach at nighttime, and it'll be very difficult for me to. That's why I've been purchasing the email. I mean, I've been purchasing the webinars like days or months after, you know. So it'd be very difficult for me to listen on the webinar at the same time, and you know, do that. Like I said, like I have a very I have a very good following out here with the schools,
good,
with the colleges and stuff like that, and you know, I've actually developed, like, websites and different things like that. But just – and then also, you know, emulating and bigging up, you know, the ministry and stuff like that, because they've taken what I know and then taken it on a whole different scale. You know, because what I know, okay, well, everything is debt, da-da-da-da, you know, and I already knew that maybe, you know, some time ago, like maybe 2 years ago, and I was cleaning up the reports on fraud, you know, and then I was like, wait, hold on. And then, you know, I called in one day and he was on USA Radio. I was like, wait. Like, this is that, you know, and I took that, and
right.
You know, like I said, I emulate that, and, you know, I've been duplicating that because, you know, if a process works, it's not a matter of you taking that intellectual property and calling your own, but basically saying, okay, well, this is where I got that intellectual property from, you know, now read on this intellectual property, and then duplicating that process, you know, so if a process works, then duplicate it, you know, so that's what I've been doing.
Man, I'm extremely overwhelmingly proud of you, man. That is something that Layla and Lori and Rudy would tell you. I've been wanting to get to the colleges because that's where we are mostly exposed and introduced to debt. When we don't have a job, when we're in college learning, and they have the tables set up, the banners, and, you know, come on, get a credit card for 10 grand, knowing that you're living off of our parents or stipends or student loans, and, you know, that's where they really start us off. And, man, that's a great program that you're doing, and we here at Thor, man, we're here for you. Whenever you need me or us, you let us know. Anything that's going to aid you in bringing that message to the college students there, because if you can save them there, then you know, they're more responsible when they get out of college, you know. And, you know, I know it's attractive to go in there and be able to go buy you something and you're living off a very, very, you know, slim economic standing, you know, in college, and you need that credit card to kind of float. But, you know, I think most of those credit cards that are obtained in college, I think the default rate is probably high. It has to be in the 70s or 80s. And, you know, it's not enough jobs going around there for you to be able to pay them. And, you know, they write them off. They have the debt collectors. You don't know any better. They start attacking your student loans. They start attacking your tax returns. They start doing all of that. So, man, that's a great job you're doing there. Hey, I did get your email as far as the membership. Right now, there's nothing to the membership other than you signing up. We'll get more into, you know, the full membership, but we definitely want you to be a member because we're a private member association. So long as you're a member, then you have us here. So you're not going to get anything right now about the membership. Okay. Just signing up is what you're going to need to do. So I definitely wanted to address that for everybody that is signed up for the membership. Right now, you're just signing up to be a member. There's no charge or anything for that. There's no return information you're going to get right now. Come end of July, you will receive something about the membership and what it entails. But man, I'm just really, you made my day. I'm glad that you're mimicking the information that you see here, and you know, I got two college students that I thought that does well. I mean, they good money in college, going through college, dealing with the debt collectors and the debts, and they done well, man. They're young. I give probably 27 and 24, 25. So man,
yeah,
you're
I'm
at 21. A great age, man. To learn.
Yeah.
Oh man, beautiful, man.
Yeah,
that's beautiful, man. I mean, anytime you need us, man, if you need us to get down there and do a show for y'all, we're there for you. Just let us know. What state are you in?
I'm New Jersey. I operate out of New Jersey, Philadelphia.
Okay.
Like, I also go into the I go into side, not just the colleges, but like I said, I have a contract with the district, with the Board of Education, where, you know, I go inside the schools and teach the parents and stuff like that on how to organize, how to orchestrate debt. I work with a finance manager, you know, to teach them, like, once the debt is cleared up, how to, how to finish, basically get back on the right track. And I think another question I wanted to ask you was regarding, like, I don't know if you're going to touch on this, but regarding, like, credit privacy numbers, like starting a new credit file, like, do you recommend that, or is that a good thing
to do? Interesting. It's interesting. I have a good friend. He's been doing credit repair for a long time, and he's involved in the credit restoration package that we offer. You know, at first the CPN numbers seemed like it was illegal to me. I read a lot of different information on it. But then when he broke it down to me, he kind of said that they're not illegal. You just have to, you know, use it properly. You just can't be creating numbers and doing what you want. So it appears to be from him, and he's been doing it 20-something years, he says they're not illegal, but you kind of got to let the banks know, you know, to using that number. I've heard a lot of things about them. I heard people utilizing them. But, you know, when I read into the law and I kind of read the law, that it's not illegal for you to use a number, you know, other than a Social Security number. As long as you're not, again, always, the kicker is, as long as you're not using it for fraudulent purposes, okay?
Exactly.
As long as you're responsible with anything, I think you're fine. And I think your character, your morality, your discipline should always be the first element that you pay attention to, not with anything. I believe that if there were no laws, there are going to be people that are going to be honorable, that are going to be disciplined, that are going to do the right thing. I don't think laws make people not do things. I think people make people not do things. So, with those numbers that they seem to be legitimate, and I asked them about it recently within the last several months, because I wanted to know, because I know I have some people that are doing them, and then I hear a lot of, you know, negative things about them, and then I hear a lot of people that's okay with them. So they appear to be okay to me, coming from somebody I trust. They appear to be okay, but I'm very, very careful about saying things because we know that people abuse things.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, most definitely.
So, you know,
most
I think
definitely.
If done correctly and educated correctly about them, I think it's a way of doing business. And to be honest with you, you bring up an interesting point because in this age of privacy or a lack thereof, you're going to be needing to use a number other than that Social Security number. That
exactly.
Social Security number is just you're just exposed to so much theft, identity theft. You know, Target losing $2.3 million, this one losing $5 million in Social Security mm-hmm. numbers, bank accounts, information. I mean, you really need a number that's going to protect that Social Security number if you use it at all. Mm-hmm. And that number may be a good way to kind of put a buffer in between your proprietary information and the information you want to be out there. So that's a good question.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Brother Cool. And I'll be in touch. I have your number here, man. I'm definitely going to be in touch with you. I'm going to make sure you have everything you need to step up, you know, your teachings. And definitely I'm glad to hear. It was always a concern of mine here at Thor is that the colleges. But now to hear that you got a young brother that's in there that's doing it and taking the information and is listening to the show and incorporating it, man, nothing, you made my day. You really did. You made my week. So I appreciate you.
Thank you.
We love you for that.
Thank
All
you.
Right, brother. All right.
Peace.
All right. Wasn't that good, y'all? We were talking about the colleges and this young brother, 21 years old. Listening in the store, taking
it.
That information to the colleges.
Out.
Not only is he taking the information, he has a contract to do so, and the education system has afforded him the opportunity and thought enough of him to be able to go out there and teach people how to better themselves financially. Man, that is just absolutely, that is awesome. Those are the things that pulls my strings. That's great. That's really great. And how many times have we talked about the colleges? And there it is. Creative is good.
Right on. Yep.
All right. Let's go to our next caller here. Let's see who's been waiting. 718. Oh, Brother Amin. What's up, Brother A?
Hey, what's up, bro? How's it going?
What's up, brother? I didn't see you in there. Great, great. I want to apologize. Last week, you were on the call, but I was mobile, meaning that I was in the airport and I was going in between, and I didn't see you in there because I was doing it from my phone. So I didn't open up any lines, but when I was telling the story about your experience last week, I see that you had sent me a text. It was like, I'm on the phone, bro. I didn't even get it. I was in a rant. I didn't even get it. But good to have you here. If you wanted to touch up on your experience, I like people to hear my version, but then hear your version and add to any, you know, anything you wanted to add to your event, go right ahead, brother.
No, I think you did a good job. You explained it pretty well, everything that happened. And the main thing is the difference when you're doing things the right way. And I had a national viewing. There was another brother that I knew. He was there also in court with me. And he saw me go up there, and he watched everything. He watched how the judge interacted with me. And it made him really confident that when he went up there, he was going to have the same result. The problem was that his documents did not look like mine. His documents were very abrasive. The judge actually told him that he's offended by his documents, and he feels like it was rude and unnecessary to take the position he's taken in his document. He just didn't like it at all. He said, it's uncalled for, the way that you're talking in this document. And when I read the brother's document, I asked him, why are you saying this? Why are you accusing the judge of these things and the attorney and trustee, why are you saying all these things to the people? And he was like, well, I just want to set the tone before going there that I'm, you know, I know what I'm talking about. I know this, and I, you know, they're not going to railroad me when I come in here. And I told him, you just cancel this pleading. You should just take this all out because it's just going to upset this judge. I've been dealing with this judge now for a couple of years now. And he didn't cancel it. He went up there, and the judge completely just ripped him. And he's like, you need to get an attorney because whoever helps you with this, just cut your legs from up under you. Like, you might want to even just cancel this whole case and just, like, not even do it. Just cancel the case. Dismiss the case is what he said he suggests he do. And maybe get an attorney and start over fresh. Because this is inappropriate language in this court. And his question to me was, what's so different? How come he didn't tell you to get an attorney? And why are you telling me to get an attorney? I'm like, just the way you spoke in the court, all your pleadings, I mean, that was just horrible. So he's just like, all right, well, I thought that I could just come in the bankruptcy court this is what it is. The judge said, you're in my court asking me for relief but demanding things. You don't come in here demanding anything from me, asking relief at the same time. They just completely ripped this guy. And I just want people to know, for one, not everybody in the beginning, you're not automatically going to war with the judge. The judge is supposed to mediate. And if you offend the judge, what are the chances that he's going to give you relief? And you're in their court, but challenging everything the judge can do and can't do and telling the judge what he can and can't do. And now you are going to ask him, well, do me a favor and give me some relief. That's just problematic. Like, there's no way that you get the success you wanted. You came in looking to fight with the judge, not the adversary, which is the attorney or the bank. You're challenging the judge. So this judge mm-hmm. just didn't like it. And then the other thing was that people, I think they hear me speak about bankruptcy court and how it's a walk in the park. It's like, I'm having fun on like a playground or something for me to go and get money. This guy got to watch me get handed a check from an attorney. The attorney's begging me, please take this check and don't, just withdraw any other sanctions against us. If you just take this check, please. This brother's watching the attorney ask me, can you please take this check and lift any other sanctions that you had filed against us. And, the judge is laughing at the attorney. Like, he's, like, waiting for me to say, hell no, I'm not lifting no sanctions. You're going to pay me, this is what the brother's watching the whole time, this whole thing, and it's very friendly. This attorney is begging me, and he's like, man, this is going to be a walk in the park, too, for me. This is great. But then he gets ripped. And it's like, I want people, he got a quick lesson that bankruptcy court is not as simple and easy as it sounds when you hear the testimonies and success stories that I speak about. I want people to know, because I've had a good amount of people come to my meetings and my classes, and they're like, I'm in bankruptcy. And I'm like, why are you in bankruptcy? They didn't have no reason. They didn't have a judgment. They didn't have no sale date. They had nothing, no reason to be in bankruptcy court. And they're like, well, I just figured it would, the success that I should go into bankruptcy court is the success that I'm hearing with bankruptcy. But it's not so simple, and it makes no sense to even go. It's like a last resort in my mind. I ended up there because that's what I was told is something to do as a last resort. And people are just going into bankruptcy court, and I want people to know that it's not that easy in bankruptcy. It's actually more difficult in that type of court. So if you could avoid that court, you're usually more than likely going to be told by a bankruptcy judge to get you an attorney because the bankruptcy rules are very, very complicated.
And so, by all means, I'm glad you brought that point up, Brother Amen. And because we know that in this community, we're lay people, but some of us are well-researched. And some of us know how to do certain things. It's not for everybody, just because – it's not like you see somebody with a pair of Jordans and you go buy one, a pair, and you look like him. It's very serious when you're dealing with any type of legal matter. And for most people, which is why I always say it, you need to get you an attorney. Now, I say that because most people don't have the discipline, the focus, the tenacity to study, to research, and put the amount of work that you have put in and the amount of work we have put in. Most people don't have that. So if you think you're going to get the same results, every situation is different. Every court is different. Every judge, the rules are the same. Everybody perceives things differently. And don't think that it doesn't have to do with the Creator, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present. I mean, it has something to do with that, too. So there's a lot of different elements that goes into being able to take these type of situations and making them successful. And you have to have, first of all, the right spirit and right attitude. The gentleman, the brother I'm going to spoke about is one that's in his nation, and he has that thing to where I'm going to go in and I'm going to just kick the door in and tell him how the cow ate the cabbage and what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and you're going to spin around three times and then you're going to stop. And, you know, that's not going to get you anywhere. When you come in there, you're nothing other than a debtor. And if you're not educated, you're just an ignorant debtor. And if you're dealing with a debt collector and you're not educated, you're just an ignorant debtor. So until you get educated, you will not begin to understand what your power is. And until you get disciplined, you have the right spirit, then you won't be able to write anything meaningful. You'll continue to deal with these gurus that's going to cut and paste and tell you, yeah, this is how, you know, this is. And for those of you that think that, you know, you can take Amin's case and plagiarize it and do things, you won't have the same effect because every case is different. Every case is different. They might be similar, but they're different. And you have to put the right spirit, the right knowledge, the right remedy, the right everything in order to have success in anything in life. So, you know, the opportunity that those gentlemen had, Amin, to see you do what you do, and they listen to you and they hear you. They didn't hear a whole lot of hoopla. They heard that the judge is very friendly towards you. You've built a relationship over there. And you said a couple of years. How many of y'all, some of y'all can't even finish school, don't want to finish school, don't have the patience, don't have the ability. How many of y'all are going to stay in a fight, so to speak, for a couple of years? How many of you would last that long? Here this gentleman is. He didn't last past the first minute of the first round. He was knocked out. Okay? Based on you listening to a lot of those gurus out there, most of them, based on getting some crap off the internet, based on you thinking you somebody different, above, lower, equal to somebody else, all those concepts do not work, and they were never employed by Amin. Okay? He had good guidance. He had a good teacher, and he had a good spirit and attitude himself, and he had resilience and discipline, and that's why he is where he is at. So, you know, I'm glad you made that clear that, you know.
Brother Sharif, can anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay. He must have dropped from the line.
Oh, yeah, he got excited. But I'd like to say congratulations, Amin. I think that is just, I am so proud of you and your success and your continued learning and crafting your skill, because that's exactly what it is crafting your skill and honing in on exactly what to do and not getting distracted by all the other stuff, you know. Amin, are you there?
Okay, Rudy, are you there?
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. Amin dropped off for a minute. He'll be back in, but, you know, I definitely wanted to thank him for saying what he said, because we want to see a lot of people trying to run and duplicate what he's done. What he's done is something that not everybody can do. Okay, you there, Amin?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah. What he's done is not something everybody can do. And he don't want people following him thinking they're going to have the same success when they don't have the same skill set. They don't have the same knowledge. They don't have the same wisdom. So, you know, it took all of that for him to get where he's at. But I'm glad that a couple of people had the opportunity to see it for themselves, because as you had mentioned, Amin, some people just thought you were straight up lying. Some people thought
he lied. That's actually, I didn't know that. That's what he told me. He's like, you know, people lying about getting paid in the bankruptcy court. Nobody believes you. When you said that, it was like, yeah, all right. But I watched this for myself. You are going bankruptcy court, and the attorneys are begging you to take a check from them. You could have said, no, I don't want that. I'm good. And then they would have to give you more money. That, the judge said it himself, like, they're going to have to give you more money is what's going to happen here. And he's like, it's up to you. What you want to do? Like, so he was blown away by the conversation that I was having, because it wasn't even like a there wasn't even no pleading. I was just talking to the judge about, like, yeah, so what are we going to do? And
right. No fancy language. Just, no intellectual masturbation. No books. And no 1,000-page books. It was just a conversation. You built up a comfort level.
Yeah.
You've demonstrated, you know, application of the law, the rules. So they're comfortable. They're like, this guy, he stayed. Some of you can't drive 10 minutes without veering off into the next lane, but he stayed in his lane for 2 years. So this judge is like, look, this guy, he knows his stuff, or he has support, and he knows how to deliver that support. So the example I think you should be setting for those gentlemen is not to go and try to run off and do something, but to get underneath the umbrella of knowledge and be able to listen to you demonstrate how to do things correctly. That's the message that they should get. Stop being so quick to run out and trying to duplicate something when you don't know where it started, you don't know the type of input that was involved, you don't know how much work it was involved, you're just seeing the success or the results of what's been done for 2 years. How can you think you can jump in there and do that? So I know part of your message, is to get out, is that don't be running out there trying to think, you know, you can, dive off a diving board and you can't swim. I mean, that's just, I know it looks easy. You know, like Floyd Mayweather saying, that's my boy. He said, I know it look easy, but you can go in there and get knocked out or get hurt, get paralyzed. Don't play with it. So it's nothing to play with. What else did you have to add?
You know, actually, the other thing you mentioned earlier about watching Atlanta Housewives and Kardashians is what's not put in context is the amount of studying that I have to do. I'm not a bar and lounge guy in the club. I'm not a Magic City dude. I'm not the one that's doing it. I'm still studying all day, every day. I'm on this information that you're presenting right now in this show. There's no time really for any of all of those other things. The downtime for me is like very small. My downtime is still revolved around me doing this still. Even when I'm relaxed, I'm still talking about these things.
So
it's not even, that's the other issue, is the amount of training that it takes to get there. You want to listen to a dead show, and download a webinar from Phil, and then it'd be like, okay, I think I'm ready to go against an attorney that spent 10 years of study and 15 years of practice. I think I could take this attorney. You see? It's you're not realistic to think that you, after just downloading one webinar, you're good to go against an attorney that's been practicing for so long. And
that's
10 years in school.
That's right. Amin has been doing this for 2 years. He's been studying for 2 years, and he's been through more attorneys than most firms. Now, nobody's bragging. We're sharing with you our successes and our failures, but the example we're trying to uphold and paint to you is that with hard work, dedication, and studying, this is what you can do most of the time. This is what you can do. This man said, I'm not listening. Listen, he's probably sacrificing some time with his family to make sure that his family has a better life by not being forced into poverty by some nonsense just because I don't know. And what can I tell my kids? I had the opportunity to read a book and have us have a better life, and I didn't because I was out at the strip club or because I was out, talking with my boys. I mean, this man is in charge of a pretty big nation that he teaches. And let me say this to his nation, to all of y'all, because I know many of you listen to the call. You have a true leader and an example in front of you. And I understand that some of the information that came in there, some of the brothers that was able to bear witness, was in there with information that did not come from him, from Brother Ahmed. You should smack yourself. You should smack yourself three times for having an example such as what this young man is and what he's been through for the last 2 years, and you go somewhere else next door to Pookie or one of these gurus and get some information that always results in what happened with the gentleman that presented it, the judge saying, if you come in here again, you're going to have a problem, okay? I'm exercising all my patience to not really just, like, crush you. So shame on you, but then let it be an eye-opener to you that you need to use the resources that you have. Brother Ahmed is an example. His story is worth listening to. His teaching is worth getting. And if you don't get that and you go outside of the four corners of your nation and the abilities of this man, woe be unto you. It's your fault. But for him to see that, if I'd have seen people that were in my group, members of Thor, inside of a situation or courtroom doing that, I would absolutely just read you the riot act. Who taught you that? Where did you ever hear that from? Who ever told you that was okay? And then you come to me afterwards and ask me how to clean it up. You understand what I mean? Now, this man can't clean anything up. The judge already told him, matter of fact, you just need to get out of here and not come back unless you got an attorney. And that's what you deserve, okay? Because that's what you, because I know if you've been around this man any length of time, you've never heard Brother Ahmed talk like that. You never heard him write like that. You never heard him even tell a story that's similar to some of that garbage that we see out there. We're trying to build examples. We're trying to give you the right route to go. We're trying to give you a yellow brick road on how to conduct yourself. And everything about what Ahmed is getting, a lot of it is about his conduct, his spirit, his character, his morals, his values. And let me talk about values for 1 minute because I talked about it last week. The values is what's having Ahmed be successful. Because as Ahmed said, he could have really just like clobbered this firm for the violations that they knowingly and willingly did. But he was a man and said, I can get a lot more money out of you, but this is not about money. And if for those of you that are greedy and you think it's all about money, no, it's not just about money, okay? It's about morals and values. It's about you using the law in an illegal way. It's about you taking advantage of me and my family and my intelligence and you thinking that I'm just going to be another victim. That's what it's about. And in the end, he's going to have the support from that judiciary and that judge because he sees it's not about money. Okay, Ahmed could have got a good bit of money and walked on. Now, we're walking this walk because we're going to walk it from the beginning to the end. We're going to walk you down. Okay, and we're going to prove every point we need to prove. We're going to do everything we need to do. And at the end, yeah, we're going to collect some compensation. But at the end of the day, this is about morals. This is about values. That's it. It's about I've been on the other side, and I'm in half, been doing the love letters, been doing the this, been doing I'm that. You know, just some of the things he might have seen. He's done it before. And he felt that it wasn't right, and his spirit it wasn't right. That's what everybody was doing. So he's done that. And he didn't have any success. Now he sees, like, wow, like, if you play the game right, it does work, and it's beautiful. And this man is not excited. He is excited, but he's not angry. He's not threatened when he go in there. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. So use this gentleman as an example for those of you that is in his group. Y'all need to, man, I would be picking this man. Look, every time I get a chance to talk, I would be blowing his phone up, man. Just please show me the right way of doing things. Please teach me. Please share with me your experiences. And now don't doubt him anymore because I was offended when you told me, Ahmed, that they thought you were lying about the successes that you were having. I was offended. I'm like, what? I mean, that's like people on Thor be like, well, Brother Shreve, I think you're lying. I'm like, what? I would be totally offended. You understand? Because there's no reason for me to lie to you. We're sharing with you things that will help you, you know? So definitely, my brother. Definitely. Anything else you wanted to add?
I just want to stress one more time for nationals and anybody else listening that hears these thoughts, please don't go running to bankruptcy court because you think you're about to get paid. just because you go and file bankruptcy and now you're going to get to keep your house because you file bankruptcy, it's going to discharge the note, and now you just get to keep your house. It's not that simple. Just filing bankruptcy. Yeah. And you're not, it's not just that simple to just file bankruptcy and tell the judge, you know, they injured me, so I should be receiving some money now.
Yeah.
I think you're going to come here and just start receiving some checks. It was a lot of work.
It's too many
people who only come to me and say, yeah, I'm in bankruptcy too now. I hope not after hearing my story that didn't pursue you, you know, prompt you to go into a bankruptcy court. So I just want people to know that you have a lot of studying to do if you're going to go into that court, especially.
Any court.
But that court, you'll see. And I wish that, I hope that if they're going to go that route, that they understand that they just have to study. And they may be told the same thing that this brother was told, which is withdraw your case now and save yourself. I don't even understand why you're in bankruptcy court. He didn't have no sale. Why are you in bankruptcy court? And this is what the trustee was trying to find out to help him, to tell him, listen, you may not even need to file bankruptcy. You may be okay. Just, you know, might be able to figure something else out to resolve your debt issues. And he didn't even have any foreclosure or anything, no pending foreclosure case, nothing.
Yeah, it's just, see, this is what I say is, this is some of the, and I understand your concern, and I'm glad you're using this platform to get the word out. Y'all don't need to be going in any court unless you know what the heck you're doing. I'm just telling you right now. But you're always going to have, you know, if somebody say they found a piece of gold behind, you know, on 25th Street, you're going to have 100 different people, you know, going trying to find another piece when there only may be one piece, so you don't know what you're doing. I mean, you know, you need to know what you're doing and stop thinking you can just copycat your way to success. It's hard work. You see a bodybuilder, you think you can take a pill and you're going to look like him without ever going to a gym. That's what this is about. You need to study. You need to get you an attorney. Know what you're doing until you learn to be able to do it yourself. So I'm just telling y'all right now, and Amin's telling y'all, if you don't know what you're doing, some of you don't even know how to spell bankruptcy, and you're going in court, and you don't know what you're doing, and you're thinking you're going to get what? That's not a place where you go usually to get money, okay? That's where you go to discharge your debts, if applicable, okay? And you need to have an attorney, okay? Small claims court, you can go in there and play around. Bankruptcy court, district court, state court, you need to have you an attorney if you don't know what you're doing, plain and simple. I say that all the time. That's why I'm not like other groups and other groups. Gurus that say, you know, I'll sue them. You know, sue them. I don't tell people that because that's something that's very powerful. And if you don't know what you're doing, you really can hurt yourself. You really can hurt yourself. So again, I'm piggybacking on Amin.
I have a question for you because one of the nationals, they told me that they filed bankruptcy in New York and they have a co-op. The co-ops, you don't own it. There's no deed. There's no anything. And they want to know. They were asking me. I'm not a bankruptcy professional or expert, so they're asking me about co-ops and how that works. If you were to discharge the mortgage on a co-op, since you don't own a co-op, and there's no judicial process in New York for co-ops, they could, you know, just sell it. Should they be in bankruptcy for their co-op? And I'm like, based on how I know co-ops work, I think that it's like based on votes or something. I believe that they would just be able to sell it because you don't really own it. You own shares into the building. You don't own the apartment necessarily. So they told me that. Can they ask you, what do you know about how co-ops work in New York City and mortgages and how that whole thing works, if you know anything about that, and then filing bankruptcy for a mortgage?
I have no idea. I'm not a bankruptcy or mortgage expert. I'm not an attorney. I really don't. Practice anything with regards to that. I think everybody should always consult an attorney. Like, I have access to attorneys and paralegals, man. I ask questions all the time. I do research all the time. So, you know, people got to understand you need to get an attorney. There are a lot of things in life you just can't do yourself. I mean, you just got to get an attorney. That's why I don't bash attorneys on my show like other people do. I really don't. There's a need for them. okay? Most of which, many of us is lazy. We don't want to read. And then some things we read is complex, even them. So, you know, you need to get an attorney. And I don't want you to become, you know, a power pellet for people to come and ask you questions. Look, you know, through the grace of God and research and studying and the help of attorneys and paralegals and everything, look, we were able to do some things and put you on the right track. You know, and it took all of that. I'm just telling you, it took all of that. So I'm not no expert on it. I don't try to be. And, you know, they should go seek an attorney for us co-ops. I really don't know. They need to seek an attorney and deal with it that way. Because most of the people trying to do these things themselves, they're just going to hurt themselves. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, most of them. So, you know, unless you really want to put years into it and really study and really make this your life, you're not going to really get anywhere. So, you know, I definitely want people to listen to your story only for the experience of it. I don't want them to think that they can do it because I don't think everybody can handle themselves in that way. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I know they can. So, you know, it was a good warning. I'm glad you put that out there. I'm glad you let everyone know to, you know, definitely use the Legal Society for most of these things that you're doing. There's some things you can do on your own when you study, when you apply yourself. And it takes studying, but in my experience, most people just don't want to do that. You're not going to have, out of 20 people, you might have two or three people that will really take it serious and do everything they need to do to have a chance at being successful. Success is going to depend on, one, the creator, your attitude, your spirit, and the next is going to depend on your knowledge of the circumstance.
Okay, cool. I guess that was my advice. I'm like, you need to speak to the board in that co-op and ask them, because they said, and I've heard this before, that it's non-judicial when you're dealing with co-ops because technically you don't release your own shares. Yeah, I'm like, I've heard that too, that they could just sell your apartment. It's non-judicial in a co-op. So that was a bad idea, I think.
There's some sort of contract. I really don't know how that works. And, you know, again, I don't talk about the rules. And so I'm not a United States attorney. You know, I can research anything anywhere. And they could, too. They need to do their research. If they're asking that question right there, they haven't done enough research. And if you gave them that answer, they wouldn't be prepared to go and do anything. You understand what I'm saying? So you give someone like that an answer, and they think, okay, well, I'm going to go there and do that myself. But that's not enough. That's not enough, you knowing whether you can do it or not. It's knowing how to do it.
Right.
Okay?
So, I have a lot of people I speak to, so I just want to be responsible when I get on here and speak about these testimonies. It's just that. That's a testimony. It's not a fact that you're going to...
It's not education. It's not legal advice. It's just testimony. It's just testimony. I'm telling you what I've been through, what I've read, what I've studied. You know, it's just my testimony. You can be uplifted by that. It can be encouragement. Maybe it's some things that you can pick up on if you've done the research and done what I've done. Maybe you can pick up on different things that you can do, but definitely it's not a guide. It's definitely not instructions for you to be able to do something and have the same success. There's absolutely no way. There's only one Amin. There's only one Brother Sharif. There's only one Layla and Rudy and Lori and everybody else. There's only one. And we all do things differently. We all write differently. We think differently. We talk differently. But when it comes to the rules are the rules, and you have to study the rules first before you talk about doing anything. If you're asking the question, well, whether I can do this, then you haven't studied enough. Go get you an attorney. Pay your money to get the service you expect, you know, until you can do better. All right, we got 20 seconds left in the live stream, 657-383-0332. If you want to continue to call, we're going to go another half hour or so. You got to call in. The call will cut out if you are not called in, 657-383-0332. You can press *1 if you have a question. All right, Brother A, appreciate you, brother.
This is a great show, too. This show right here was a really good show. It's like a real live talk show. And I'm listening to all of the information and things that's being spoken about. Like, this is a real live talk show. And the three women on there, they have nice radio voices. It's easy to listen to. You know, it's hard for men to listen to women sometimes, that the voice.
I'm opening up the line on that.
Dude, I can listen to these women. I'm like, man, I feel like
that's good.
I can keep listening to this, and they gave some good stories and good information and reports. It was like a real news report reporting on debt, and I don't know if I've ever listened to a talk show that was geared so much towards finance and debt, currency. And, I mean, this is a really good show, this particular entry or episode. And if you keep the dynamics like this, this feels real good. This is a nice show. I really
great,
suggest
brother.
Everyone continue to listen to this. This is really good, what you're doing.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Peace.
Yeah.
Love you, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
See.
All right. Let's go down. Let's go down to 404-6291. You're on Thor Radio. Do you have a question? 404-6291. All right. Let's go to 404-9782. You're on Thor Radio. All right. Let me see who the line is open. All right. All right. Let's see. Let's go down to. Yes.
Brother Sharif, I was going to say, I wanted to say that's the first time I've ever heard Brother Amin-Ra speak so much. I hear the confidence in his voice. He sounds so happy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's awesome.
It is. That is. You can sense his happiness, man. He's a young man too. Okay, in his upper 20s, and having this experience has been, you know, eye-opening for him, man. He sits down with his family and talk about it. He's spent a lot of time. He's been through a lot of stress, been through a lot in 2 years. It hasn't been heart-wrenching because he's been on the right side of doing things, and therefore the Creator has been blessing him appropriately. But, yeah, he's you know, this is an experience that he'll never forget. And whenever the Creator blesses you with people with those experiences, then, you know, you should be taking full advantage of them, but definitely. 661-0240, you on Thor Radio. 661-0240. You know what? I see what I was doing. 404-6291. 404-6291.
Yes. Yes, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right. This is my first time on the call, but I have listened to everything, and I feel like I've been going through the withdrawals because there hasn't been a call to listen to. Rudy's the one that introduced me to you, and I have to say that what you're doing is amazing. It has been... I have been in court for 2 years fighting a foreclosure in Florida. I live in Georgia. So that makes it twice as difficult. If I had known what you had told us in the beginning, I would have filed my FDCPA case a whole lot earlier, and I had time to amend it after listening to you. Just got through, I think, serving attorneys, but since I've been dealing with Florida rules for so long, I had somebody serve 17 attorneys in one law firm, and they were giving her the runaround for serving. I mean, I know this is probably a stupid question, but I said, just don't walk out of there and leave, you know, make sure you leave them. Just document everything you do when you leave them. It would cost me almost $2,000 if I had a process, a sheriff or do it. So somebody did it for me, took them to Tampa and did it for me. Now, I don't know whether that's an issue or not. The court said it wasn't here in Atlanta, but the fact that they left them, are they actually served?
So if I'm understanding you correct, you're trying to serve 17 defendants who are lawyers?
Yes. Every
and
one of them violated the FDCPA.
Every one of them violated the FDCPA. And you're suing
yep.
them as defendants, correct?
Yep, yes.
How did 17 lawyers violate the FDCPA? I got to ask the question.
Okay. Should we go through the list?
I just want you to quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. How did 17 different attorneys violate the FDCPA?
Okay. My brother passed away in 2008. They were foreclosing on the property but never gave me notice. Mm-hmm. And then when I finally got an acceleration letter, they wouldn't validate, and I've sent 6 notices to the servicer and the attorneys, and never once did they validate. On top of that, every which way you can think of, they violated the FDCPA.
Give me one. Stealing my property,
I mean, locking me out of my property and taking the property inside of it, that's one.
Okay. What section of the FDCPA is that a violation of?
I think it's either I or J.
Okay.
It's a judicial, because since Florida is a judicial state, they have to get an order from the court before they can take the property.
Right.
No, they have not. We're still in foreclosure. As a matter of fact, they just amended the complaint after 2 years. I've been through 17 attorneys and 5 different judges.
Okay. So let me stop you. So you just said they have to do it judicially. Well, they're doing it judicially. You said they filed a complaint and they amended the complaint. So they filed debt collection action or foreclosure in court, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But they're suing me for a debt that's not mine. And they are, this is the letter that I got from them after discovery. This is, this is just one sentence. It says, furthermore, please be advised that this company is the servicer of the mortgage note and holder of the mortgage note, and the owner investor of the mortgage note is Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, HUD. That is the party that is looking to get paid. They've just told us they're a debt collector. In writing, a year ago.
Okay, right. So you said you had 17 lawyers. I'm trying to understand the 17 lawyers and how 17 different lawyers has violated the FDCPA. You said maybe it's H, maybe it's I. I don't think it's either one, but
definitely. Let's go to G, because until they validate the debt, they can't even bring the foreclosure. And they've never validated the debt, so they've continued to attempt collection.
This is where you're wrong. Okay, let me correct you.
Okay.
They can do whatever they want to do. They can foreclose. I mean, foreclosure and debt collection is two different things. That's where you have to really understand that you're mixing the two. Whenever you mix the two, they're not going to mix. They're all in water. Okay. Debt collection and foreclosure is different. There are different laws that apply. They're different activities. So just because they didn't validate the debt, that does not mean they can't foreclose, okay? And you have to bring your own case to establish your debt collection case. They have a right, if they're a creditor, to bring, or a mortgagee, they got a right to bring their case, okay, in the way they want to bring it. That's first of all right? Second of all, I still don't understand how 17 lawyers has violated, and I'm going to just say this. I'm not going to be able to see how 17 lawyers has violated. And then you mentioned 5 judges. So, I mean, judges are not subject to the FDCPA.
I just said in my case, that's what it blames in 2 years. Yeah.
Sure. And I'm going to say these 3 things to you because it sounds like a case familiar to somebody out there, I believe, Rudy, and I know she has 22 defendants or something of the sort. Love, you are not going to be able to handle suing 17 people or 7 or even 2, okay? Just based on the little bit of information that you've given me, based on the fact that you can't handle more than 2 defendants, 17 is absolutely unheard of, okay? When I ask you a question about what did they violate, and you say, well, maybe H or maybe I, that means you really don't know what they violated, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. You're going to get yourself in a lot of financial trouble. You're going to get yourself into a situation to where you're going to be compensating 17 lawyers for their fees. And if you're talking about a foreclosure, they're going to hit you with those fees, and they're going to put a lien on your property, which is what they should do. When you bring those type of actions against them, and you don't know what they are, one, you don't know if they apply to them, two, and you don't know what you're doing, 3. I suggest to you strongly that you really dismiss those cases and all of them. And talking about serving, I think it's honestly, and they'll be offended, I think it's ridiculous for you to have that many defendants and to take on that kind of case by yourself when you don't have the requisite knowledge to be able to tell me what they violated. And I don't see how 17 different lawyers violated anything unless 17 different attempts to collect the debt was made by these individual lawyers, all right?
Exactly. That's all it was. That's all my case is about their attempts to collect the debt.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the foreclosure. It has nothing to do with the debt. It's the way, what they did, and because it's not my debt to begin with.
Okay. Was it a debt through probate that was assigned to you, like your brother passed, but you became the owner of the property by operation of a probate or will or something of that nature?
Well, and yeah, but probate, okay. It doesn't apply in Florida, but because of his death, yes, we got the property.
Okay, so then it's your debt. I mean, that is your debt. His name is not on it, but you're the next of kin. You're the surviving party that takes over the debt. You have the house. You use the house. It's your debt. So, you know,
the judge and the attorneys have both admitted in court that I have no contract and I owe them no money.
Well, of course. We understand that.
Admitted that court twice.
Okay. But you are the surviving family member that gets the house upon his death. So it is your debt. It is your house. You're using the house. You have possession of the house. So how are you going to use the property, have possession of the property, but then say, well, it goes away because he died, unless he had some credit life insurance that paid the house off. Other than that, the debt is transferred to you, and you're utilizing the property. So you're trying to sue them saying that you're asking me for a debt when you know that you're the surviving family member that has possession of the property, or the property was deeded or transferred or assumed to be yours in some way. It's your debt. Simple as that. You going off of the premise that, well, they admitted it has no contract. Yeah, we understand there's no contract. We understand there's no contract in your name, but we do understand that you're putting a key in the door and you're residing in the property, or you have ownership of the property, or you're a surviving party, or there's some agreement that in the event of your brother's death, you get the house. So you're basing your case on erroneous information, and you're totally wrong, and you need to dismiss that case. I'm telling you. Now, if you haven't heard that before,
2 years ago.
Possession of it.
Well,
okay.
They took possession of the property 2 years ago, so I have no access to the property. I can't even maintain the property.
They took it how? You said they didn't foreclose. They're still in foreclosure.
They're still in foreclosure, but they changed the locks and stole everything out of the house.
Was the property abandoned?
It was empty at the time, but we were taking care of it because we maintained the pool.
Okay, well,
they knew it wasn't abandoned.
Well, abandoned is they come around and the mail is piling up, the grass hasn't been cut, or there's nobody, it's seemingly no adult presence in the house. That is considered abandoned under most state laws, and they can enter and take the property over. Well, the curtains is open and they see there's no furniture in there. There's no life in the property. They have people that watch that look for that. They ask the neighbors, hey, anybody been over there? No, we haven't seen him in a while. He died, and, the sister comes out every now and again, but, you know, nobody lives in there. It has to be inhabited. So it is abandoned, and they took it over, started the foreclosure. If they're a creditor, they're allowed to do that.
But they're not the creditor.
Okay.
If they're not the creditor, then you should have the suit.
You should have the suit. But then, okay, well, what if the judge asks you, okay, is that your debt? Did you get the debt? Did you obtain the debt?
No.
Well, how can you talk about what your brother got? Are you a competent fact witness to that transaction?
I have nothing to do with it. There are no witnesses.
So why are you fighting it then?
Why am I fighting it?
Yeah, why are you fighting it? You don't have possession. Well, you have nothing to do with it. So if you don't have possession of it, you don't have anything to do with it. Why are you suing 17 people because of it? So See, these are points you need to understand before you start suing one person, much less 17 people, and at that lawyers on your own.
Well, the police have already documented everything.
Okay, well, they're not going to document any violations of the consumer protection laws. It doesn't seem like a crime was committed. It's not a crime for them to enter the property that they perceive as being abandoned. That's not a crime. That's not a crime. I mean,
but who has the rights to the property? I guess that's what I don't know. Who has the rights to the property?
You said you had the rights to the property because you were a survivor. You had some survivorship or some documentation saying that you get the house.
Correct.
So but you wasn't in the house. You left the house there, and you didn't want anything to do with it. And you said, your words was a few minutes ago, I have nothing to do with the property. That's what you said.
No, the loan or the mortgage or the contract.
Gotcha.
I have nothing to do with the contract.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. You know, what I'm saying to you, Sriyad, you have a total misconception about how this works, and you shouldn't be suing anybody based on what the information you've told me. Those questions that I just asked you, if they don't roll off your tongue, you shouldn't be suing anybody, and you shouldn't be trying to benefit off of them trying to collect on something that doesn't belong to you. If it belongs to you and you're defending it, then that's a different story. But it seems like you gave up the property. They went in and took the property. They're doing a foreclosure, and you're suing 17 attorneys because they're trying to collect on a debt that's been abandoned.
No, I had the property. I had a renter in it. And then supposedly the debt collector sent a letter to the tenant, not to me. The notice of default letter went to them, and they freed and left the house. So they broke the lease agreement.
I get the picture now. I get the picture now.
Okay.
They didn't send a notice of default letter to the tenant. They sent it to the property. That's what they have to do. That's what they're not. They don't have anywhere else to send it. They're going to send it to the property. The tenant scared and left.
No, because I'd been communicating with them, and we were trying to work something out. But I was trying to buy it from my bank. They said I couldn't do it because it wasn't a long-arm transaction.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and then. Uh-huh. And the bank requested who the creditor was, and they wouldn't give them that information. The bank says, we can't do anything until we get that information. Same thing you ask. Your calls ask those questions. The servicer would not give my bank that information so they could try and make a deal without it. So, that's where, I had been communicating with them, and I had just made a payment 2 weeks before they sent the notice of default, which is, even more confusing to me. So it's kind of, and every mistake the attorneys made in the process, they had to correct it with an amended complaint. And then the judge left as soon as I notified him that they had taken the property. And he wanted the details and blah, 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 because it's a felony in Florida to steal the property. They had already documented that I was the property owner. I had a property manager taking care of the property, taking care of the pool, taking care of the yard, all that stuff. They knew it wasn't abandoned. They called and verified that it wasn't abandoned. And then the next thing I know, they've changed the locks. And then the next time I go back to court, they've taken out everything in it, including the tools to take care of the yard. So it's kind of it's a huge mess, and nobody understands. I mean, I worked with Harold for a long time before I heard about you. And
okay. Well, now I understand.
Now you understand.
Now I understand.
Okay.
I understand a little bit more why you're in a fight that you should not be in. And if, you're working with individuals that don't advise you properly, and I don't know that they have or haven't, but, maybe he seems like, a fairly intelligent guy. I would guess that he would probably told you to not pursue that situation. And if he's told you that, and that's who you believe in,
he didn't
tell
you
not
to pursue
that.
22 defendants. No, not 22 defendants. No.
But
according to
you, said he didn't tell you. Okay.
Not to do 22 defendants at one time, no, absolutely not. But the FDCPA case is solid based on FDCPA rules and nothing else, not the foreclosure, not the debt, only on the way.
So you're going to sue 17 defendants based on your brother's loan on a property that you don't have, and you're not on the loan, you have nothing to do with the loan, and you're going to sue 17 defendants, and you have a solid case under FDCPA under, you said, 1692 I and J.
No, no, no.
Okay.
I have to sue under 1692 C and D because it's not my loan to begin with, and I have case law to support it.
Were you ever in possession of that property?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes.
Right. And you obtained rent from tenants, right? So you were using the property, right?
Well, I didn't make any money. No, I paid the bank.
Well, okay. But
For a while, yes.
So you benefited from the property. So how are you going to say it's not my loan when you benefited from the property? You were the lease holder.
No, I didn't benefit from the property because I put more money in repairs than we ever got back because the rent only covered the mortgage payment.
We're not talking about repairs. But what I'm saying is that you were in control of the property. You had a tenant. You did a lease. You got a security deposit. You got rent. Maybe you put some of the money in the property. Maybe you put some of the money in your pocket. You were in control of the property. You benefited from that property, from that debt. And now you want to sue them and say, I didn't have anything to do with it. You should have never talked to me at all. I just really think you should dismiss the case. But I have to get on to other callers. Hopefully you heed that advice and move on from that case. I think it's going to cause you a lot of pain and stress. And I think the last thing you're going to have to worry about if you continue to pursue it is going to be property. You're going to really get hit hard with fees, and you may be even countersued. And once you get in the grips of those attorneys, this is what they do. This is what they do. You can't come in a boxing ring and not know how to box and then challenge a boxer. You're going to challenge an attorney who's schooled in the law, and you're not. I'm just telling you, you're not. And you're not where you need to be able to defend what you're saying. And you're going to get in there, and you're going to not choose one of them, but 17 of them? I just think you're making a huge mistake.
But I don't understand. Everything I've listened to you say, if they cannot, if they have not valued the debt, period.
And you're not,
they cannot.
Yeah, you're not listening. You're not listening to what I'm saying. Every situation is different. Your situation is different. I hear you talking out of both sides of your mouth. I hear you saying on one end, I have nothing to do with the debt. I have nothing to do with it. It's not mine. Don't call me. And on the other end, I see you're leasing the property. You're taking rent from the property. You're in court. You're trying to defend the foreclosure. Like, everything you say cancels out with reality. So you're telling me one of two things. You're taking what I say, salient points of what I say, and you're just applying it to the points that you want to make. But in a totality vision, I'm saying that you're playing a dangerous game, and you shouldn't be suing even the neighbor, much less an attorney or anybody else, for what you're telling me has happened. I'm telling you that. So it's up to you to take it, because I know you've heard that before. I mean, even if you're in these groups where lay people are around, I know people are saying, you're suing what? 17 people? Even if you're suing 17 listeners on Thor, that would be a little bit too much for you. But you challenge 17 attorneys. I think that's just suicide. But do what you may. We wish you blessings. All right, we got to go to the next call. All right, 17 attorneys. Wow. 17 people.
You know what? You know what? Can I just add something real quick to that whole episode there? Just real fast, if I may.
Sure.
I just want to put it out there that, that is some Russian roulette there that's being administered. But also, you need to keep in mind time. Time is something you cannot buy. Time is something that you cannot trade. Time is something you can never get back. It's the one thing you can't trade in. You can't. Once it's spent, it's spent. And the time and effort and energy that's being put into, I mean, you can tell.
Oh my goodness.
It's stressing her out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is it really worth that? You know what I mean? Is it really worth that? And I would say time would be best spent doing other victories.
Well, educating yourself.
Right on.
You're not picking a battle. I mean, that's like challenging 17 Brother Sharif. 17.
Yeah, I'm out, man.
Just me.
I'm out.
You know, I mean, come on. I mean, like really, like, those kind of things, I'd just be like, man, you know, just forget
back
it. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just like, okay. You know, because some people are not going to listen. You know, they just they want to do what they're doing, and then you know it's just, and I pray for them, and I mean them no harm. But then they say, well, you know, you said, well, I never told you anything. What I'm talking about is education. I never said that you've never heard anybody on this show, including myself. Yeah, it's only like 5 or 10 people, 17 people. Oh, it's going to cost me $2,000 for service. $2,000 for service. You know, for 17 people and 5 judges. I mean, I don't know where this language comes from, and she's with another group, and maybe that's what they do in that other group. But I don't think so either. You know, the gentleman she mentioned, you know, although there may be some issues there, I don't think he would encourage or cheerlead her doing that. And I'm sure he's had to say, anybody that would listen would be like, look, you just need to stop and reboot, you know, and figure out what you're doing. But hopefully, you know, she heeds the advice. So let's go to another call, 630-3555. You're on Thor Radio.
Hello, Brother Sharif. Man, that was a heck of a dissertation you were doing there with the young lady.
Yeah.
But anyway, I have a couple questions. You said something last week that I had never really thought about, but I've never done it when I went back to my federal pleadings. And maybe I should just continue. But one of the statements you said is never admit in your complaints that you were defaulted. So when you're doing your cause of action, actually pleading your factual information, how do you avoid using that word?
Okay, I said never admit that you're in default. Now, what I made that comment to was more than likely if you're on defense in some alleged foreclosure case. I wasn't talking. You don't plead that because, again, it's not about the debt in a consumer protection case. Now, as far as default, you have to understand they get real tricky with the term default. A lot of times you will see they'll say that the loan is in default, and then sometimes they'll say the borrower is in default. Well, those are two different things, okay? And people don't catch that. So, you know, you can never admit the default. You don't know if you're in default. You don't know if the loan has been sold into the secondary market and the servicer is paying the advances to the certificate holders. You don't know that. Say the borrower is in default, well, that's totally different. I mean, the loan and the borrower. So the loan is not in default, but the borrower didn't pay. You know, how many ways do you get paid? If it's one loan, I mean, either it's in default or it's not. The loan needs to be in default, all right? So that's one of the statements that I made, but that's on a defensive posture and if you're in foreclosure. What was your next question?
I got you. Okay, very good. And so when I'm filing my own suit, it doesn't matter if I say that word in
default doesn't
alleging
matter. The
facts. Okay, very good. All right, and when the bank, who now has been ordered by the federal courts to send out accounting statements in a foreclosure to the owner of the noted mortgage, when you file your complaint and you being represented by an attorney in state court, you can allege in your FDCPA claim that they're going around counsel because they sent you the statements. The statements should go to the attorney and not to you directly. I am correct about that, right?
It's my belief. Now you're talking about you're in a foreclosure case and you have counsel, but then you're doing your own FDCPA case and they're sending you statements. Those are two different cases.
Yeah,
I believe they're two different cases. So I don't know if they're I don't know if they're going around counsel if you have counsel on a state foreclosure case and then you're starting your own action and they send you a statement in compliance with an order from the court. No, that wouldn't be going around counsel.
Maybe,
if you had counsel on a federal court case, then yeah, they have to go through that counsel.
Okay. All right, I understand that one. And then when is an assignment actually official? When they file them in the state court claim, is it when they file it with the recorder of deeds office, or when the date that they said they allege that they received the assignment. Which one is it?
The date. It's going to be the date because some states are must-record states and may-record states. They don't have to record the assignment. They may record it, and some of them they must. But it's all you always go based on the date of the instrument, when they signed it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right. I got it. And the last thing is on assignments in a foreclosure, which you say you should always attack the assignment, which makes perfect sense to me on an FDCPA claim. Oftentimes,
yeah.
When I read a lot of the orders from the judges on assignments, they kind of go with the side of the plaintiff on the assignment, and I always wonder what are some of the causes of action in an assignment that creates your cause of action against it.
I mean, everything about it. You might see them go for the plaintiff in a foreclosure case, but I don't think you see that in a consumer protection case. I mean, everything's wrong about the assignment. If it's assigned to a REMIC after the closing cutoff date, if it's signed by unauthorized parties, if it says valuable consideration and they're alluding to the fact that something was paid, some monetary amount was paid, that's another violation, 1692EF. I mean, Jay, I mean, everything about an assignment is fraudulent. If Merce said that they assigned a note and they didn't, I mean, you know, all of those are unfair practices. So, I mean, you can absolutely rest about at least a half a dozen or more on an assignment solely.
Okay. And, Brother Sharif, why is the person that signed the assignment not liable?
I see where you're going. I don't see any sense in suing a robo-signer under consumer protection laws. Like we had shows with debt collectors. I mean, these are $10, $11, $12 an hour people. You know, you go after the pockets. I mean, you go after the debt collector. That's who you go after. You know, you can sue the robo-signer, but what are you getting out of it? Nothing. They don't have anything. You know what I mean? They don't have anything. So, yeah, it's just like loading up 17 defendants. I mean, all you need is the one that has the big pockets. You know, a lot of people want to go sue the attorney individually. You know, for what? He's doing a job for his client. I mean, you sue the person who's collecting the debt. Sometimes you do have to maybe go after the attorney if it makes sense. I really don't do that unless they've really done something really out of the ordinary. All right? So, you know, I don't advise to do that, but I would definitely go after the one that's trying to collect the debt because he's doing a job for that client. Yeah, he bears some responsibility. And, you know, a guy that's doing it, you know, is coming in with assignments and got seven assignments in 1 week, yeah, I think you should bring everybody to the table. You know what I mean? Because he has a responsibility as well to look over and vet those cases and make sure he's just not bringing, like, total garbage to the court. He has that responsibility, all right? He has an oath to Rule 11 to look over everything and make sure that he's not bringing a frivolous case. Seven assignments is definitely something that an attorney should run away from and be like, look, buddy, I'm not touching this. I'll get caught up somewhere, you know, in that. Or, you know, I'm seeing the courts is like beating us up on these robo-signed assignments after the cutoff date and all that. You know, he's supposed to sit back and be like, I can be, you know, called in as a defendant. I can be, this case can be amended, and I can wind up having to defend my actions for you. Okay? Now, some of them have gentleman agreements with these debt collectors and banks. They're like, look, you know, if I get sucked in, you got to cover me too. Maybe they have that. I'm not sure. I would believe that they do. But definitely I would just go after the party that's collecting the debt.
And you're assuming, too, that the party that's going after the debt and knows what the behavior is of the people that signed the document, the assignment itself? And I'm asking that from an educational standpoint, more so than anything else.
Yeah.
You're here to know that.
That's a good point. You're saying I'm suing the debt collector, saying that they know everybody who signed the instrument. No, but they're an assignee, and the law applies to an assignee just as much as it did the assignor. So you can't be assigned a debt and benefit and want to take the property, but then when I start pointing out fabrications in the instrument itself that you rely upon for standing. You can't turn around and say, well, I didn't know anything about that. Well, no, you paid for it, though, right? You bought that, right? That's your debt. You're trying to collect on it. So that means you have the same responsibility as the assignor, as being the assignee. And as simple as that. Okay, I don't let them out because they are, I don't know what they did, but yeah, you were trying to take, you were trying to collect the money, right? So, I mean, that's it. You get, you take the baby and the bathwater. You have to take both.
Okay, very good. I appreciate your knowledge every week.
All right,
appreciate
brother.
It.
Thank
and
you,
I appreciate
man.
What you
All right.
share. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Peace. All right, let's go to 202-2218. You're on Thor Radio. Do you have a question?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, a couple questions. I've listened for a few weeks now. I got the FTCPA rules. I've been reading that. In regards to the gentleman earlier, you said you can sue on the FTCPA angle, but the foreclosure case is totally different, correct? It's a different kind of case. So can somebody
right.
view, let's say you succeed in the FTCPA and you're winning, and you get money, you get monetary, you know, from the case, you win money basically. Can you still proceed with a foreclosure even though you're winning on the money side and the fines and things? Can you still lose the house to win the FDCPA violation?
Yeah, I mean, they can. Again, I mean, a lot of people are looking for what's going to stop the foreclosure. Maybe nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
okay.
nothing. Maybe you're so far mm-hmm. behind, maybe there's nothing you can do. You can defend it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could start your own case and get the damages for what they did do. But, you know, it's not going to necessarily stop a foreclosure. That's not what you're trying to do. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to let
okay.
you go and get the damages that are allowable under law for what they're doing. Not saying that you can stop what they're doing. That sometimes
okay.
it does stop what they're doing, yes. Okay, maybe. That's incident to it. But it's not necessarily all the time that they're going to stop. All right, so they're two
okay.
different things, and don't mix the two. You know, if you're waiting for money, I mean, that has nothing to do with the foreclosure. I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're two totally different things. Now, our position is that more than likely the person that's doing the foreclosure is a debt collector and shouldn't be doing it, okay?
Right.
And that's
right.
something that you have to prove in the state court. That's something you have to defend in the state court, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have to do that yourself. But they're two
mm-hmm.
different things. Don't go in the district court consumer protection law case talking about foreclosure. You're not talking about
mm-hmm.
foreclosure. You replace foreclosure with debt collection. And that's all. You're saying they're in a debt collection. Okay. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
opposing
mm-hmm.
counsel, the debt collector, they're going to talk about foreclosure. And we're like, we're not talking about foreclosure. I really don't care what you're
mm-hmm.
doing over there. Like, it's my job to
mm-hmm.
defend myself over there. Over here, my job is just have you compensate me for the damages you're causing
mm-hmm.
by your debt collection activity. That's it.
Mm-hmm. So, again, it's to win money, the money there in the debt collection case. But, again, you still might, possibility you might lose the house still, though. You might, there's no real way to fight that, per se.
If you don't, you can fight it by defending it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't go into state court talking about debt collection either. You can say, well, you know, they're not a creditor, they're a debt collector. You know, you have to prove
mm-hmm.
that. So they got standing, they got capacity, you know, subject matter jurisdiction. You can point those things out, but that's not your claim there. Your claim is they're not who they say they are. Okay? You have
okay.
to fight the merits of that foreclosure based on your knowledge of foreclosure law, creditor,
okay.
debt collector relationship.
But,
okay?
But
based on your
you
contract, and we've given you enough to be able to defend that contract and say they're not party to that contract. All right?
Okay, when you say give enough, so you mean when your webinar, do you mean, talks about that? Does your webinar?
Yes.
I saw something where I'm about to buy a couple of your webinars. They discuss that, how to fight a foreclosure doing those, what you just mentioned?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I got one of the emails. You said you're doing some seminar this weekend, the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're
going to
be announcing it in a few minutes, so you can listen up for that. We're going to do that in a few minutes.
Oh, that's, okay, I thought I missed it. Okay. So should I attend those webinars and not get the personal consultation or your webinars, or what should I do as far as I'm just getting started trying to learn what angle should I go? I'm not sure which way to go.
Right. Just email us at debtshow@yahoo.com, debtshow@yahoo.com, and we'll get you a list of them.
No, I'm saying I'm just starting out. Should I attend your webinar on this weekend or do a private consultation or a webinar?
You'll have to make that decision. It depends on, you know, you can go into the archive and you can just spend your time, and there's 6 months of shows there. You can start there, or you can start at the webinar if you want specific information, or you can show up if you want to get advanced. Sounds like you're just starting off. You probably need to start off in the archive if you want to do it the long way. If you want the short way, then you got about 8 or 9 webinars that you can start on that'll have you some documentation that you can read and utilize right away. So the webinar is probably my best bet for you. Economically,
what about
if you wanted to take the short route?
Talk about. What about that?
You can start there as well, but it's all about where you're at. I don't know where you're at in your knowledge.
Right.
If you're just starting out, then you definitely need to start in the archives and maybe listen to some of those shows. Or if you want to start out, there's specific topics that are available in the webinars. You can go through and pick out which one you want. I start from the beginning to the end. So there's webinars for each phase. All right?
All right, one more question. One of my weaknesses is the pleadings and the complaints, writing stuff up, put in the court. Where do I learn about how to write this stuff up? I understand the concepts of what you guys are doing, the FTCPA.
Yeah, that's
going to
be covered in the That's going to be covered up in the webinar this weekend.
How to write it, actually write it, right? How to put it on paper.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. I just said that.
All
right. That then. All right, thanks,
okay,
sir. I'll wait for it.
You're
about to announce about the stuff in a few minutes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right. I don't see Rudy. Did Rudy drop off? He must have and couldn't get call back in. All right. We're going to do our announcement on our Thor University seminar. Oh, you there? Okay, great. I don't even see. Okay, you are there. I don't even see your line open. Let me, 1, 2, where? Oh, there you are. Okay, you on 0377. Okay. All right, so this weekend, Saturday, 11 o'clock, Sunday, 11 o'clock to 3 or 4 o'clock, we're going to be doing a webinar series. That series will be 2 consecutive weekends starting this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 3 or 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to start from the beginning and cover complaints, writing them, how to write them, how to structure them, what to put in them, what not to put in them, okay? We're going to discuss motions to dismiss, how to defend them, how to respond to them, how to oppose them, okay? We're going to discuss the following weekend, discovery, Rule 26F, hearings, scheduling orders, trial, depositions, everything front to back we're going to discuss over these 2 weekends. So it will be a 2-weekend event. Okay? We're not cramming anything. We're going to make sure you have enough information and understand exactly what's going on about every topic that will be involved in you doing litigation against your debt collectors. The cost will be $495 for the entire weekend. You can get whatever part of those seminars you like. If you just want 1 weekend and not the next weekend, that is fine. Some of you are at different places in your knowledge. But we felt this seminar would be important because there's a lot of questions about how you do things, how you defend, how you do trial, what do you do, what do you say, what do you don't say, depositions, interrogatories, things of that nature. Okay? We're going to cover all of that in 2 weekends. 4 sessions, all right, $495 for the weekend. You will receive an email by tomorrow about it, the timing, the topics that will be discussed on each day, on each weekend, all right? It'll be the next 2 weekends. We look forward to you being there. You need to be a member. You need to sign up. Membership is free. You need to be a member. We're a private member association, so you need to be a member. Take advantage of that, and you can go to our website to do that, okay? So that's the announcement to make today. You need to sign up. As you know, this is one of a kind. We've never done this before. It is going to fill up quick. You know, let your friends and family know about it. There will be no recordings of this webinar, no recordings, all right, after the fact. So you need to be in attendance. You need to get you a pad. Go get you a pen, a couple of pencils, be able to take notes and do class. This is a serious class. All right. I don't do Rudy Poo wild party seminars. I'm very structured, okay? And y'all know I'm very organized in what I do. And y'all know I give away and give out a lot of information. So I want to have you prepared because there's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of information. One of the things I will say is the lady that was on here today with the 17 defendants, I really suggest you just show up to this class for the next 2 weekends, and I think you'll have a better understanding of what you can do and what you don't need to do and how to handle what you have. All right? So that's what we have this Saturday and Sunday, next Saturday and Sunday, 2 weekends, $4.95 each weekend, no recordings, so there will be no after recordings given out. If you're not there, we apologize. Maybe you'll catch the next one. You have anything on that? We have 12 minutes left.
No, I just think that's one of those elevated platforms where you have to come and get the knowledge firsthand. It is going back to school, and you'll be able to grasp what's being taught and get a clear understanding of the rules and the regulations of what to do and what not to do. And you won't be in a situation like we heard the young man say, you're abrasive in your documentation and the different things that are being done. Because as you know, your paperwork precedes you. So if your paperwork is abrasive, sometimes the mind is already made up of those who sit in fair judgment, and you don't want to do that. You want to do it the way it's supposed to be done.
That's right.
Hold on. Hey, yeah.
I think
like
this has been.
Oh, go ahead.
This is important because I've been hearing for a long time, and this has always been on the table. A lot of people, you know, knowing how to get started, but don't know how to maintain, don't know how to get into discovery, don't know how to defend a motion, don't know about discovery practice, don't know about interrogatories, depositions, don't know about any of that. And you have to know that. And these are things that not many people know. Everybody has a habit out there of looking, copying, and plagiarizing and doing all that and filing a complaint, but then not knowing what to do afterwards. And to do all that and then fail at step two, it's just ridiculous on your part for you not getting the knowledge, but I do understand that the knowledge is not out there. So Thor is providing that knowledge because we've been A to Z multiple times. We're going to share with you our experience, our knowledge, our information, okay? And we're going to give it to you the way we got it. We're going to give it to you the way we give it to everyone. You're going to be able to have an opportunity to understand A to Z what happens. Amen will be able to tell you what's going on, what has happened. So we've been there, done it, and we're going to teach you or show you or demonstrate to you how you can do it. Now, I'm going to be clear about this. There's some people that will get the information and totally go out and still do something that's outside of what we said, okay? Not knocking anybody, and we learn from mistakes and failures and successes here. You know, some people will take some information and be like, well, you said that this was this, that was that, so I can do this and I can do that, and I can go take it against 50 people. You know, people are always adding sugar and sweetener and extra additives and ingredients to something that is very simple and plain. And when you start to convoluted, it becomes more difficult, and eventually you can't even recognize it for what it is anymore because everybody just don't want to pay attention and stick to the rules. If things are too simple for some people, they got to muddy it up. They got to add something to it. They got to go and try to multiply it or extend it or stretch it. It works the way it works. Okay?
Let me
I had a consultation with somebody that said that, you know, is that easy or is that simple? No. My experience just enables me to translate it, transfer it to you in a simple way. But no, it's not easy because many people don't know it. So no, it's not easy. It's just that the Creator has blessed you to be able to hear it put into a simple way. Now, other people benefit from it being complex. I don't have to say any names. Some people benefit from making it sound so difficult. You understand? So they tell you the information because they really don't want you to understand it. They want you to come to them so you can do it for them, so they can do it for you and all of that. But we give it to you so you can understand it and you can do it yourself. And some of you even take that and make it difficult to where we don't even understand what we told you. That's not what this is for. So this weekend and next weekend, we'll have it done the way Thor does it. And hopefully you'll get it that way and be able to maintain it that way. If you do it the way we say, then it will do what it is supposed to do. If you say something else has happened other than the way we know it to be, then we know that you've done something wrong. As simple as that. As simple as that. Go ahead, Rudy.
Okay, I was going to say, I've been a court advocate for years in another arena, but I've seen people come in and lose simply because they didn't know how to present themselves, how to talk, when to talk, when to sit down, or whatever it is. It is so important to know the pleadings and the practice and the evidence and the procedure. We don't lose necessarily because we don't know what happened to us or what somebody did or didn't do. We lose because we don't know the procedure. We don't know when and where and how to do what has to be done. And this is very important. I mean, we've asked for classes like this for a long, long time, and I am extremely excited that this class will be going forward, that people will have the opportunity to come and sit more or less at the feet of a person who knows what's going on, and you have your live testimonies from the young men who are actually doing, and we need to understand how to do it, when to do it, and what's actually going on. We talk about the 12B6, the first one thing and then another. And sometimes people don't realize you've lost if you sometimes do your heading wrong. Technically, if the heading is wrong, you've already lost. People don't even know how to get the heading right or anything else. So I'm excited about the upcoming class, and I just look forward to it. I just thank you for it.
And I want to say this, and I'm put it on record, and I'm being absolutely serious. I'm being dead serious. And you can take it the way you want to take it. I want you to go to all your gurus, all your leaders, all the people in this arena, and tell them to attend the class. Okay? We have a lot of groups that we listen to. His Advocates is one. There's many other groups. There's some gurus on email lists, and there's plenty of them that listen to this call. I'm very clear about that, and I know that. Come to the class. Come together. Learn together. Learn the proper way to do it, okay? Revamp your system, your information. Teach the people what they need to know. Give them what they need to have. And let's roll on in prosperity, period, okay? Now, I know there's a lot of chitter-chatter out there. I know a lot of people cook chicken different ways. We're not going to put much seasoning on what we give you. Okay, the seasoning is our intellectual property, the way we do things, how we do things, the spin that we give it. That's Thor's. We're going to give you the basic fundamental information that you can use, and you can add to it some seasoning. For all you gurus that repackage and do things like that, it's going to be plain enough for you to put your season on it, put your little thing to it, make it yours, but get the information in its entirety. Get the information that's needed to help your environment and your group of people. I'm not saying that I'm a know-it-all. I'm not saying that I'm the end-all, be-all. What I'm saying is I have the experience. I have enough knowledge. I've been successful at doing what I'm doing. People around me are successful. There's people around me that are students of mine that are successful. You can't deny that. And I understand fully that a lot of you are not having success. Okay? So we're keeping it real. Come to the class, learn what you need to learn, and let's all go forward, be prosperous, be successful. There's enough debt collectors out there for everybody, okay? Thor's not cornering the market. I think we're the most successful, the most realist group out there. And definitely we're not trying to knock people in the head every time you turn around, that's for sure. So, you know, come and get the information. It's well worth it. It's a weekend event. You're going to get what you get on this show times 10, but it's going to be enough for you to be able to go forward yourself and be successful. Get you a pen and a notebook and some pencils. Don't come here just listening. Don't come to these classes just depending on your memory. You need to take it serious. This is class, all right? When you want to get out there and you want to sue someone or sue 20 people, you need to definitely know what you're doing. You need to have a notebook. You need to have notes. You need to have a book or books to understand what you're doing. This is serious business. It's nothing to play with, nothing to take lightly. I'm telling y'all, y'all better stop thinking this is the new pair of sneakers is out. This is very serious, all right? And stop trying to piggyback on what somebody says or what somebody does, or, you know, you got a copy of something and you're reading it and you're changing the name and that crap does not work. I'm just telling y'all right now, it doesn't work. You're not going to get anywhere in life piggybacking off of someone else. Learn it yourself, all right? So you ladies have anything to say? We got 3 minutes left.
Yeah, I would like to just encourage everyone once again to attend this weekend and next weekend. There is a difference between learning versus knowing, and this is one more step towards your knowing what's going on and how to do it. And listening versus hearing. You know, a lot of times people listen to things and they interpret their own spin on it, but you need to hear the message, not just listen to it. And the best cases are lost on procedures. And procedures is what you're going to be learning the next 2 weekends. The procedures are so very important. You can have the best, strongest case, and you can lose your tail feather straight up off the procedures. And then finally, I would like to ask everyone to keep in their heart and their minds and in their prayers the children that are flooding over here through this whole immigration thing. The children have really been on my heart. If I could just ask everyone to keep them in their prayers, that would be great.
Indeed. Pray for our country. Pray for the stability of our country. Pray for those leaders that are at the helm driving our economy. Pray for everyone. Pray for the alleged immigrants, people that are coming over here to have a better opportunity. Not necessarily better life. Life is what you make it. Definitely pray for those. Pray for our debt collection agencies. Okay? Pray for yourself. Layla, did you have anything? We got 30 seconds left.
Fine. Yes, I do. First thing, New York co-ops are governed by UCC 9504. They are considered real personal property, not real property. Family, I just want to let you know, all roads lead to court. So if you're going to go to court, you know you're going to get there. SOAR's got the blueprint. We're going to have this webinar series these next 2 weekends. Get on board and learn how to go to court the correct